Black.
We are in dire straits here. There is no electricity. The sewage is backing up. The water supply is running low.
One of the 15,000 people holed up tonight inside the New Orleans Convention Center. Mayor Ray Nagin agrees the situation is getting desperate. With no apparent relief in sight, he says people will be allowed to cross a bridge into the city's unflooded west side for whatever relief they can find on their own. Lieutenant Colonel Clyde Vaughn, director of the Army National Guard, insists that National Guard MPs are on the way to help.
We're going to continue to flow forces until someone tells us to stop. Every state has responded. We've got 30 states that are offering up and sending soldiers.
But our John Zarella, just back from New Orleans, says that city is turning into a very scary place when the sun goes down.
You can't venture out at night because you're venturing out into water if you're around some of the hotel areas, or certainly if you're in some of these really hard-hit areas where there's lots of water. So you dare not be out at night if you can at all avoid it, because you don't know what you're going to face.
Perhaps one of the scarier situations involves two public hospitals in New Orleans. Doctors, nurses, and patients have been trapped for days with no water or electricity and very little food to eat. Several efforts to evacuate them have been aborted because of sniper fire. Doctors at the hospital say they feel they've either been forgotten or ignored. Well, the Senate's going back to work tonight, hoping for quick passage of an emergency funding bill for FEMA. Congressional leaders say $10 billion in hurricane aid will be ready as soon as tomorrow. The nation's broadcasters also chipping in to help. Thousands of local radio stations around the country are pledging to raise at least $100 million for the hurricane relief effort. This is CNN Radio News.
There's someone we'd like you to meet. When you get that notice from eHarmony.com, it means we found someone who is compatible with you in all the most important areas of life. The key 29 dimensions that create a joyful, successful, long-term relationship.
Every time I got a new match on eHarmony.com, I would get this jump in my heart and think, this could be it.
An eHarmony match is a truly exciting experience, because when you discover chemistry with someone that has what it takes to make a great life partner, it takes passion and romance to a whole new level. And that's the eHarmony difference.
It's the best thing that's ever happened to me.
So if you long to find everlasting love, see for yourself why more eHarmony matches result in marriage than any online site. Don't let another day go by. You deserve to be with the love of your life. Let eHarmony introduce you.
This will be an everlasting love for me.
Well, before you complain about the gas prices in your area, our Dick Giuliano has been checking the gas situation for our friends living along the Gulf Coast.
Desperate for gas in Mobile, Tody Sharkey, who waited in line 11 hours with his family, including three small children. His goal? Get gas for the car, buy a generator, then return to his flood-damaged Gulf Coast home.
Came over here from Biloxi, thought we could get a hotel, some gas, a hot meal. Never happened. There's nowhere to get none of that.
The big hurricane shut down vital Gulf Coast refineries and production. Some gas stations cannot pump without electricity, but distributors offer assurances ample supplies will soon be available. Dick Giuliano, CNN Radio, Mobile, Alabama.
The Energy Department says it's being inundated with complaints about alleged price gouging by some station owners. Some lawmakers are now demanding an investigation into this week's steep price hikes. This is news from CNN Radio. The gay marriage debate is back, this time in California. Our Jim Roop says the state Senate has passed a bill that would legalize same-sex marriages.
It sets the stage for a showdown in the state assembly, which narrowly rejected a gay marriage bill in June. After the assembly did reject the bill by four votes, the bill's author, Assemblyman Mark Leno, amended the measure's provisions to another one of his bills that had already passed the assembly and was awaiting action in the Senate. That's the bill the Senate approves and then sends back to the assembly.
If the Assembly agrees, that would make California's the first legislative body to approve a gay marriage bill. And finally tonight, he is 87 years old, but Robert Byrd wants another 6 years in the U.S. Senate. The West Virginia Democrat indicating he will seek re-election to a ninth term in the Senate. An official announcement is expected next week. I'm Greg Black. This is the CNN Radio Network.
Stephanie Miller is taking back America for the rest of us. So, you know, when the right-wingers scream those talking points, aren't they off better now? Are they better off now?
No.
Are they better off now? Women folk, not so much.
Women ought to be treated equally in the Iraqi society.
His old's giving a laugh there, because even he knows that's a joke, ain't gonna happen.
I understand that we've officially lowered our expectations for Iraq.
Stephanie Miller, weekday mornings at 8 on Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1.
Okay, so you've been hearing a lot about the environment and greenhouse gases, and you're conflicted because you know it's important, but what can you do? The EPA urges you to be part of the solution with Energy Star. The fact is, your home can cause twice the greenhouse gases of your car. It's true, but by using an Energy Star qualified programmable thermostat, you're taking an important first step to heat and cool your home more efficiently, and that helps the environment. Discover more steps you can take to reduce air pollution from your home and car at EnergyStar.gov, and you'll feel good knowing you're making a difference.
To step up to the mic on Madison's Progressive Talk. The Mic 92.1. Online at themic921.com.
Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Air America Radio. Thanks for tuning in. Kathy and I are back. We're both still pretty under the weather here, but we're going to make a go of it anyway. 20 foreign countries are offering assistance to the United States. At this point, I don't know to what extent any of that has been accepted. If the the last few days have not been clear evidence of the absolute lack of leadership that this country has, I don't know what it's going to take to drive that point home to a liberal, conservative, man, woman, Jew, Gentile, gay, straight. I don't care what the situation is. We are in a terrible, terrible situation here. Now, I've got some things to say tonight, and we have some sound to play for you, and we're going to take as many phone calls as we can. The overarching question for me tonight, and it has been for the past 5 days, I have been spent pretty much most of that time in bed, and I have to say, I'm just going to say this when we move on, sicker than I think I've ever been in my life. I don't know what the hell hit me, and then 3 days later hit Kathy, but it was just an absolute bone crusher. I hope this is not something that's going to start going around, as they say. But in spending that much time in front of a television, watching mostly CNN, a little bit of MSNBC, I have, like you, been put through the ringer here. I have cried, I've screamed, even with a throat so sore I couldn't even talk. Kathy and I have tried to make sense out of this. I've seen this anguish in the and the various stories that are presented on the news programs, it's astonishing. I don't know where I am. I don't think you know where you are. This is not our country. This is not our government. This sort of thing does not happen here. And yet here it is. And I think the overarching question is how did everything fail? Everything. How has everything failed? There are people tonight, literally tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people, who are stuck in this disaster zone, that are dying. One of the scrolls on the bottom of CNN's news programs are talking about piles of corpses and human waste building up in the city and the floods. It's just beyond comprehension. And as Jack Cafferty at CNN was the first to broach this subject, the faces are all black, aren't they? Have you noticed that? Huh? Have you noticed these enormous crowds? 10, 20, 30, 50, 60, 70, 80,000 people. How many white faces did you see? I've never experienced anything like this in my life. And I'm in my early 60s. I have never, ever, ever experienced a failure of leadership. A natural disaster is one thing. But the inability of the federal government, which is absolutely what is needed, what is demanded at a time like this, to do nothing. To do worse than nothing. I've watched the so-called press conferences, the press briefings, where these insane-looking white men stand there and mouth from Bush all the way down to these weasels that run these different departments, talking about, well, help is there, it's on the ground, as has been pointed out over and over and over by this awestruck, finally, dumbstruck American television media. We can drop meals ready to eat and huge bladders of water to people who need it in Iraq, but in our own country, the Bush crime family refuses. Now, I want to tell you something. As far as I'm concerned, these are willful acts of abandonment. This is not an accident. Do you understand that? This is not an accident. Nobody had any power over this hurricane. As far as the breaking of the levees in Lake Pontchartrain, I have some questions about that, whether or not that came as a result of the hurricane or something else. That's how my mind has gotten over the past 5 days. But as far as a response, nothing. Absolutely nothing. And the shock that I've seen on the faces of so many members of TV media who never, never, never were willing to challenge Bush on any issue whatsoever. The shock on their faces. It's just incredible to see all of a sudden, right? No matter the lie, no matter how transparent the lie, a complete acceptance of everything this criminal administration has done by the television media. From destroying environmental protections to increasing the chemical pollution and everything from drinking water to my wife's breast milk, for Christ's sake. Not a word. They sit there, these pretty boys and pretty girls, never challenging this Bush crime family that's destroying my country and their country and your country. Not a word. Now, all of a sudden. Now, they sit there. They stare into the camera, these television reporters. They don't know what the hell to do. People coming up to them, thrusting babies at them, please help me. No matter how criminal the act by subsections of this Bush crime family over the past 5 years, not a peep, not a damn peep from this miserable television media. So over the past 4 days, as it became apparent that the Bush thugs had no emergency plan, no rescue paradigm, no ability to handle natural disasters, that the whole idea of Homeland Security is nothing more than a filthy, hideous joke and a way to line more money into the pockets of these bastards, and the plan for New Orleans was simply to let people die, all of a sudden, the voices on television. Poor old Jack Cafferty on CNN, who just loves busting anything that has anything to do with liberals or Democrats, all the way to Bob Schieffer on CBS. Even that moron on Fox, who stood up on the expressway a day or two ago, screaming at somebody, please help these people. You sons of bitches, you get it yet? Their voices are incredulous. Here they are, news media, whose job it is to hold the feet of an administration to the fire. And they have been enablers, and they've been whores and prostitutes, and they allowed themselves to be embedded in an illegal invasion of another country. And there they are. And I've been watching these suckers 24 hours a day, because I haven't been able to sleep. So now they're starting to ask, aren't they? How did this happen? Where's the federal government? That's what they're saying to each other and to their viewers. Well, there's no plan here, Dan. Well, what happened, Bob? Well, I don't know, John. Well, what's going on? These people need help now. They're dying. There's corpses in the gut, in the Superdome. All right, now I'm going to try my damnedest tonight. I'm getting this out right here at the beginning. And we're going to play some sound for you, and then we're going to hear from you. All right, I can't get into hysterics, but I'll tell you, as far as I'm concerned, this is another trifecta for Bush. What they're waiting for is a total breakdown so they can declare martial law. No time to point fingers. They say that. Every one of these right-wing bastards that's been on television, from that pig Haley Barbour to this horrendous, horrendous human being that allegedly is running FEMA, what's his name, Michael Brown, talking about these people in New Orleans who are struggling to survive, struggling to keep their children alive. He refers to them as people crawling out of the woodwork. Oh, you bastard. We didn't know there'd be so many crawling out of the woodwork. He said that today. I heard him say it. No time to point fingers, huh? No time. Don't they always say that? No time to politicize this. We hope the Democrats will restrain themselves. There's not a time to politicize this. Do you understand what's going on in your United States, in my United States? Do you understand how imperative it is that this administration be removed?
Knock them dead. Pack your kit. Choose your hypocrite. You don't have to go to Off-Broadway to see something plain absurd. Everybody's crying mercy when they don't know.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio. Uniquely Madison. Madison's progressive talk. The Mike 92.1.
Green Light on the Environment, brought to you by Cliff Bar. I'm Rachel Maddow. A court victory for people who care about the California coastline. A federal judge has blocked the Bush administration's plan to allow new oil drilling off the coast. The judge ordered the government to conduct more studies of the potential environmental risks, and that ruling effectively delays any drilling for years. Environmental groups and state officials joined together to stop the plan, arguing that the risk of oil spills was too high. Government is considering whether to appeal the ruling.
At Cliff Bar and Company, we're all about nourishing healthy people with great food, like Cliff and Luna Bars, and now new Cliff Nectar, an entirely organic fruit and nut bar made from five or fewer ingredients. With two servings of fruit, you can eat well and feel good about it. Cliff Bar is part of a growing community of people and companies dedicated to leaving a lighter footprint on the planet. Visit CliffBar.com and learn about how we're working to create better food and a more healthful environment. And look for Cliff Nectar in your local natural food stores.
Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1, is almost 1 year old. Thanks for listening, and thanks to the sponsors who helped bring us Mark and Mark, Al and Catherine, Randy, and the rest to Madison since the very beginning.
Dr. Sandra Oikster and Dr. Richard Levine of Independent Psychology Alliance thank 92.1 The Mike for providing hope by breaking the silence and speaking out for all of us who know our country is in serious trouble.
This is The Mike, 92.1.
We actually have Future Mark on line one.
Oh, Future Mark, that guy's great. Put him through.
Hey, buddy, what's up?
Hey, buddy, what's up?
Just checking in, man. I told you Cincinnati would be good. I'm sorry I didn't tell you about the flu you were going to get.
Yeah, thanks, man. When does this go away?
Friday, I promise.
Hey, what's that noise, man?
Oh, I'm sorry, the news is on.
Well, can't you just turn it off? We're kind of having a conversation here.
Actually, no, I can't. The news is always on now, or should I say infoblasts are always on. All the media outlets now have these info cannons, and they fire nanorobot swarms of data in the air, and you just kind of breathe them.
Wait, whoa. Let me see if I get this right. So robots fly into your mouth with the news?
Yeah, mouth, nose, ear canal, sometimes the other orifice, which is strangely pleasant sometimes.
Well, isn't that annoying?
Isn't what annoying?
Getting the news that way.
Is that what we've been talking about? I'm sorry, man, my attention span's taken a real beating since this technology came out in 2030, and that's what caused the, sorry, man. I forgot what we were talking about again. Ow! Hey, what? Hey! I just got stung by a story on a runaway bride.
So they sting you too, the nanobots?
No, they're different types. The earlier news carriers were actual insects.
Oh.
I just got stung by an info bee. Fox created those. There were ticks, mosquitoes. What were we talking about?
News, man, news. So what kind of news do you get in 2050?
Well, there are about 250,000 news outlets, most of them inhalables. Hmm. You know, crime blotters, sports, weather, porn. But now they're all mixed together. Actually, As we speak, I'm inhaling the New York Times Financial Lesbian Action Report.
Oh.
It really holds your attention for the 3 seconds it's on. I got to invest in that Dolphin Sports League.
All right, so I guess there's a Dolphin Sports League now.
Oh, yeah, Dolphin Sports Porn, Monkey Sports Porn, Giraffe Ball Porn. Oh. Hold on, man. There's a Michael Jackson Bulletin that comes in every 3 minutes. Busted again?
He's still around?
Yeah, but he's fondling clones now. So now we're in this like gray zone as far as the ethical thing goes. I mean, we all use the pleasure clones. It's no secret. Really, how old is any clone? A couple weeks old, maybe.
Well, that's kind of creeping me out, buddy.
Mark, hey, how's it going, man?
What?
There's something I was going to tell you. I sent myself a brain mail. Hold on. Tell Mark to start carrying hand sanitizer. Lots of it.
Why?
You know, it wouldn't be fair to tell you why, because I know how you are, but I guess it wouldn't be fair of me not to tell you.
Yeah, that does worry me. How much hand sanitizer?
Well, if they've got it in a drum, buy that. I gotta go. Judy Woodruff Gone Wild is on.
Really?
Shake it, Judy. Yeah!
It's Progressive Talk. The Mike, 92.1.
Taking back America one morning at a time. This is Stephanie Miller, and I'm on the mic weekday mornings at 8.
If you're not outraged, then you're just not paying attention. It's Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
21 past the hour. That business about no time to point fingers. I think we heard that three or four times today. This punk Scott McClellan said it. This thieving bastard that now runs the state of Mississippi, Haley Barbour, said it. This horrendous human being. Who is this Michael Brown, the FEMA director? He said it. No time to point fingers. They always say that, don't they? Huh? The same thing was said when it became apparent that this crime family had no response to 9/11 and no strategy to prevent it, even when they were told in advance it was going to happen. Remember the August 6th memo? Even then, the same thing that was said when the lies about the Iraq invasion came clear. Lies that were used to take the country to war. No finger pointing. We have troops in harm's way, you know. Not now. No finger pointing. We have tens of thousands of people who are going to die in New Orleans, but no finger pointing. I'm sick of this. I would think that every American tonight, I don't care what your political affiliation is, isn't it time to get rid of this criminal element that's ruling this country? Huh? Doesn't this recall John Dean's words about a cancer on the presidency? This gang is a cancer on this country. It's got to be removed, or this society is simply going to perish. You know that. I know that. We all know that. The world knows this. These images are being beamed around the world. Do you understand what's being shown to the world once again? Because of this thuggish Bush crime family? I'm so sick of hearing these people. Well, we didn't know. What? How many billions have been spent on Homeland Security? What the hell is Homeland Security? Emergency preparedness. Where's the money? Where did it go? What did I hear today? Congress has got to trickle back in. Oh, they rushed back in for Terry Schiavo resolution, but they're going to trickle back in and try to pass a resolution to get some money to FEMA. Why? Because FEMA's broke? You know why it's broke? This filthy criminal pig has sucked every dime out of this country and given it to the top 2, 3, 4%, these rich bastards in this country who got their billions upon trillions of dollars of tax cuts, and the money that's gone to Iraq to fight this illegal, murderous, filthy war. And here we sit. We have people dying in New Orleans in the Superdome, and we can't drop peanut butter sandwiches to them. We have babies, not fetuses, you bastards, real babies, dying. We can't provide security? Of course there are people going berserk in New Orleans. Armed gangs now. Hell yes. What do you expect? Now what do they do? I heard today they're going to send 10,000 combat troops into New Orleans. Ah, you sons of bitches. Combat troops. When all it would have taken would have been some leadership.
to step into that battered and beaten and destroyed city and say, okay, here's where you go for water. Here's where you go for food.
Oh, but they'll send the combat troops, won't they? Oh, yeah.
Shoot the Negroes!
So maybe there were some people stealing tennis shoes.
Who gives a damn?
What about the people that were taking Pampers and milk and bread?
What do you say to somebody when this filthy Walmart is sitting there, chock-a-block, with goods,
and your family's starving? What are you going to say?
What did Bush say? What are these bastards said today? Zero tolerance on looting? Ah, you filthy animals. Get Bush. Get the rest of these people. Put them in downtown New Orleans. Put them in one of those containers they're using for our rowboat. And turn them loose. No water. No clean clothes. No place to take a piss. Nothing.
Zero tolerance. I'm so sick of seeing mothers holding their babies and old people dying in the sun. For Christ's sake, this is America.
Or it used to be!
People on the verge of mayhem and murder and suicide because this criminal administration does nothing, nothing, nothing except take us into wars and disasters. The skin color of these internal refugees and the economic condition of their lives can't be ignored. If ever an event in this country showed the horrific disparity in income between those able to provide something as basic as a way to escape a disaster and those who couldn't, it's this hurricane and this flood. We should be so ashamed, not because of what we've done, but because of what we've not done. We've not removed this regime from power. God.
You got to reap just what you sow. That old saying is true. Like you mistreat someone, someone's gonna mistreat you.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Framing the topics, speaking truth to power,
and that other stuff too.
Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1.
This is Larry King. Did you know there's finally a different form of vitamin E? Ester E, a unique form of natural E, captured for the first time in a supplement. It's the only E I take because only Ester E protects its antioxidant benefits until your body is ready to use it. And it's all natural, so it's readily absorbed. Take Ester E, like me, E-S-T-E-R-E. Advanced protection, Ester protection.
Look for Ester E and Ester C everywhere vitamins are sold.
After 25 years of marriage, I can't imagine life without Bob. So when his doctor told him his high blood pressure and cholesterol increased his risk of a heart attack, I worried. But I feel better because his doctor recommended Bayer.
Doctors know that Bayer low dose can prevent 1 out of 3 heart attacks. And Bayer is the brand that more doctors take for their own hearts. Aspirin is not appropriate for everyone, so be sure to talk to your doctor before you begin an aspirin regimen.
We both feel better because I take my Bayer.
You'll feel better, protected by Bayer. Talk to your doctor.
Hi, my name is Joy, and I'm a mystery shopper. Now, my friends think I have the absolute dream job. Don't get me wrong, it's great. But I tell them there's a little bit of work involved. I have to get out of bed, get dressed, plan out which shops to go to, and evaluate my shopping experience. Well, sure, I get paid to shop, but it's not like I can just sleep in and watch soap operas all day. Now, that would be a dream job.
Have you ever wondered how people get an inside track to become a paid mystery shopper? If you're self-disciplined and self-motivated, there are over 40,000 retail chains looking for mystery shoppers across the country. We work with large retailers, grocery chains, restaurants, and banks who need shoppers to evaluate things like customer service, store cleanliness, and parking. So if you like to shop and have a valid email address, we have assignments available now for men and women 18 years and older. Call 1-800-416-0859 to find out how you can get paid to shop. That's 1-800-416-0859. Paid shopping assignments are now available in your area. 1-800-416-0859.
Leading progressive speakers are going to Fighting Bob Fest on September 10th. Here's a sneak peek on the Mike 92.1.
My name is Dino Amato. I'm a former UW regent and a energy and healthcare consumer advocate. What's fascinating about Fighting Bob Fest, it brings Democrats, Republicans, Green Party, Libertarians, conservatives, liberals, all together under one tent, under what has been called the politically homeless. People are generally frustrated at what they're seeing with government because the real big issues are not being addressed. And it really is a multi-partisan group of people that come together once a year and talks about how we bring our government back. It's not just a list of the outstanding speakers. There's a number of breakout sessions that people can address, whether they're environmental issues, the need for affordable education, energy-related issues, and the like. We want to engage people, and we want to walk out of there with a plan of action to how, basically, we can bring democracy back to Wisconsin. There actually will be a full breakout session on the people's legislature, and in that will be a Libertarian candidate who ran for governor last time around, Ed Thompson. Several former legislators will be involved as well. And the whole intent is to begin to interject what needs to be done to put the building blocks of democracy back in place. And I think what you're going to see is a lot of local initiatives being driven by people who've attended either the People's Legislature or Fighting Bob Fest and organizing at the local level. It cannot be a top-down process. The People's Legislature and Fighting Bob Fest can't sit there and dictate. What it really wants is to get people mobilized, organized, and begin to see how we can do things at the local level and move that forward up to the state level. And I think what you're going to see is coming out of Fighting Bob Fest more and more of that grassroots movement to support those people in the legislature who support our causes and at the same time convince those who aren't or ignoring them why they got to come on board and address the real issues of the day.
Join us for Fighting Bob Fest on September 10th. This is the Mike 92.1 Mornings Edition. Overthrow your morning radio routine.
If something is being portrayed as negative, it is for a reason. The right, who has this weird manufactured non-reality that they built by exploiting people's fears, exploiting people's core values through cultural warfare, they've got millions of people believing that the truth is spin.
Mornings Edition from 5 to 8.
On Madison's Progressive Talk.
The Mike 92.1.
The American Association of Retired Persons is opposing President Bush's plans for Social Security. Why would they do that? If you want to know the truth about old people, talk to the people who know them.
Old people are needy. I need a ride. I need a walker. I need something to eat. Could somebody please help me? I'm in the toilet. I can't get out. It's horrendous.
I had to spend 15 minutes helping my mother find her glasses because she forgot where she put them. Just forgot.
Dude, they crap in their pants.
Enough about World War II. I get it. You were there.
I'm sorry, but if you're going to dinner at 4 o'clock, you really don't need more money.
You liberated Auschwitz. You were there. I understand. Can we watch The Apprentice now?
And when they wear those diapers, they can pee right on themselves, too. Just pee.
Brian! My name is Brian! God!
I remember this one time, my uncle, he was on the floor. I thought he was having a heart attack or he was dead or something. Turns out he wasn't. Just on the floor.
Who the hell is Bobby? Nobody knows Bobby!
Dude, they crapped their pants.
Old people. They oppose President Bush's plans for Social Security. Isn't it time they died already? Paid for by Switchboat Veterans for whatever cause is being funded by the right-wing millionaires at the moment.
Wow, that's,
you've done it now.
That's powerful stuff. I mean, it's awful what those people do.
You're on the mic.
Especially like to listen to Al Franken.
Madison's Progressive Talk. The Mic, 92.1.
Truth, justice, and the American way. It's more of Mike Malloy.
26 before the hour. I start to feel horribly ashamed when I see these images on television. And then I realize that that's not because of something I've done. The only thing that connects me directly to what is happening here is the fact that I've sat on my ass for 5 years instead of working actively. I don't mean a radio talk show, to get this monster out of office. So if I talk about shame tonight, that's a shame. That's what I'm feeling. But the way the sick and the poor that we've been seeing all over television who couldn't handle this disaster were left like so much garbage to be picked up by the sanitation department, just kicked to the curb. And the world watches this, and we watch this, and we see once again the horrific, just monumental hypocrisy of this so-called Christian nation. It's enough to drive me insane. I swear to God, it is. This is a nation of beasts at the highest levels. That's what we're run by. We're run by beasts, and it works down. It starts to filter down, and I can't believe what has happened here. I just can't believe what has happened in my country. We're going to play this sound. Just very quickly, Lisa in Detroit Lakes, Minnesota, just wrote this, Mike, I'm sick, just sick. I've never felt more rage and more helplessness than I do at this very moment. I was watching the news conference from New Orleans with the governor of Louisiana and the state police chief. He said that 60% of the New Orleans police officers have turned in their badges stating they can no longer protect themselves or anyone else. Dear God, where is my country? Every American tonight should be sobbing and outraged. Yeah, we probably should be sobbing and outraged tonight, and then tomorrow, we should bring this regime to an end. I know you've heard his mindless, meaningless lies the past few days, Bush's, but you've got to hear some of this audio we have for you tonight. It starts with Good Morning America this morning, then to Simple Scotty's briefing today, then Bush's bizarre speech this afternoon. I'm sorry, you're just going to have to listen to this the same way I had to. This is from Good Morning America. Diane Sawyer sat down with this monster, answering her questions about why it's taking so long to get help to the hurricane victims. If this is the best he can do with a natural disaster, imagine if there was another terrorist attack. Imagine if something happens right now. If these terrorists that he's always talking about are so enterprising, then now's the time to strike this country. Do you realize what would happen? It's like Bush has learned nothing ever in his entire life, but especially since 9/11. All the resources that should be sent to protect the homeland are instead being spent on his filthy, piggish oil wars. So now more Americans are dying on this bastard's watch. Now let me ask you, neocon thug something. Do you really feel safer under this guitar-strumming, cake-eating, giggling killer? Do you really? Is this your boy? And what are you going to say to me? Well, Mike, at least the queers can't get married, huh? Listen to this.
Well, there's a lot of food on its way, a lot of water on the way, and there's a lot of boats and choppers headed that way. Our boats and choppers headed that way. It just takes a while to float them. People have got to know that there is a massive relief, one of the most massive federal relief effort ever in combination with state and local authorities, and there's a lot of help coming.
Yeah, when and where? When and where, you lying bastard? People are dying by the minute. Everybody can see that they're poor brown people and only a few are embryos, so it doesn't mean a damn thing to you, does it? Sawyer then asked why no one had shored up the levees despite repeated warnings from FEMA that this sort of thing could happen. And then Sawyer wanted to know, could he, Bush, understand why people are frustrated or the lack of preparedness and response? Listen to this answer. This is what it sounded like when he was asked about the mishandling of 9/11. All that's missing here is a CIA memo titled "Hurricane Katrina Determined to Strike Within the U.S."
Well, I fully understand people wanting things to have happened yesterday.
You bastard!
I mean, I understand the anxiety of people on the ground. I just can't imagine what it's like to be waving a sign that said "Come and get me now." So there is frustration, but I want people to know there's a lot of help coming. I don't think anybody anticipated the breach of the levees. They did anticipate a serious storm, but these levees got breached, and as a result, much of New Orleans is flooded, and now we're having to deal with it, and will.
I didn't think nobody ever thought that people use airplanes as missiles in this country. This lying bastard and his entire regime knew. There were 10 articles written over the past, 18 months in the Times-Picayune, the newspaper in New Orleans, specifically about these levees. And this Bush crime family has cut back and cut back and cut back on money specifically to be spent. New Orleans is like Holland. It's below sea level.
There has to be dikes. There has to be dams and gates and pumping stations. And they knew it. They knew it. Bush knew it. They all knew it. And these bastards sit here and like Bush and say, well, we don't think anybody anticipated the breach in the levees. I don't think anybody think they would use airplanes as missiles in the United States. Now, listen to this compassionate conservative when Diane Sawyer asks about the looting. I'd like to see him go without food or water or shelter for more than 30 minutes. Listen to this.
What's justified, what's not?
I think there ought to be zero tolerance of people breaking the law during an emergency such as this. Whether it be looting or price gouging at the gasoline pump or taking advantage of charitable giving or insurance fraud. And I've made that clear to our Attorney General. Citizens ought to be working together. I mean, if people need water and food, we're going to do everything we can to get them water and food. It's very important for the citizens in all affected areas to take personal responsibility and assume kind of a civic sense of responsibility so that the situation doesn't get out of hand, so people don't exploit the vulnerable.
You're exploiting the vulnerable. You blind bastard! How dare you? How dare you? People should take personal responsibility when their child is dying. What is that responsibility, you unconscionable bastard? Not to smash a window in a Walmart to grab some bottled water? I'd blow the place up, Mr. Bush, if it were my child. Take personal responsibility like you have in your entire life, and now you call on your pappy and Clinton to come and bail your ass out again. You're not doing everything to get water and food to people who are starving and dying of thirst. You liar! You liar! You're doing nothing. You're doing nothing. You want people in affected areas to take personal responsibility? Then give me a hatchet and a rifle. I'll take personal responsibility. I will make sure my year-old kid has water to drink and my wife has food to eat and I have food to eat. And if I have to take an axe to some son of a bitch, I will do it. Personal responsibility. Personal responsibility. That phrase coming out of this drunk's mouth, personal responsibility, never in his worthless, useless life has George W. Bush ever taken personal responsibility. Never, not once. Ever. And he lectures people who are holding their children who are dying. He lectures people who have been driven out of their homes, their cars, everything. And the Bankruptcy Act about to take effect in a month. No way to get out of this. No way to live, even if they make it another month. Water rising around their necks. And this son of a bitch says take personal responsibility. Civic response. I'll tell you what civic responsibility is, Mr. Bush. It's removing you and your criminal regime from office and trying to rebuild this country. National Guardsmen, the Louisiana National Guard, Alabama National Guard, Mississippi National Guard. Where are they? Yeah, where are they? You know where they are, don't you, Truth Seeker? You know where they are. Listen to Scott McClellan here referring to Americans, our brown brothers and sisters. Huh? Our brothers and sisters, as if they were part of another nation. You can hear this in Bush's speeches too. Listen to this weird third-person reference to people affected by this disaster. People in New Orleans who are my brother, my sister, your sister. It's like these bastards really do believe they're two separate Americas. Theirs and the rest of us. They don't give a damn. The rhetoric is so impersonal, so distant, so unfeeling, so uncaring. They're dead inside. Listen to McClellan.
This is a natural national tragedy and one of the best ways for the American people to show our compassion for the people in the Gulf Coast region is to support with donations the efforts of the Red Cross and the Salvation Army and others who are helping people in the region.
You could substitute the word Iraqis for Gulf Coast and it would be the same speech. The same speech this well-fed pig always makes. I can't get this into my mind. I've got two grown daughters and a son that I stay in close contact with. My son is a firefighter in South Carolina. He called me today and he said on the 12th, I think, of this month, he and a unit from his department are heading down there. You know what they're going to be doing? Body recovery. I have a daughter who is a freelance writer and who writes for Time magazine. She called me today and said, Daddy, they may be putting me on a Coast Guard plane to fly over there. What do I take with me so I can write of what's going on in that area? And I try to explain to them, and I have my other daughter teaches preschoolers in Tampa, and my kids call me today and they say, what are we supposed to do about this? What are we supposed to think? And I don't know what to tell them. And then some more. You can tell me.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Fighting Bob Fest is September 10th. If you can't make it, listen live on the Mike 92.1.
George Bush invaded Iraq under the pretense of weapons of mass destruction. So you'd think the first thing America would do after invading would be to track down the Iraqi scientist who worked on WMDs in the 80s and 90s. Well, think again. This month's Mother Jones magazine reveals that the Bush administration put almost no effort into tracking down Saddam's nuclear scientists. Iraq had many scientists with working knowledge of WMDs who could sell their services to the highest bidder. But a source tells Mother Jones that only three of Iraq's top 200-some nuclear scientists have been accounted for. The others are missing. If the Bush administration had actually cared about WMDs, it would have made an effort to find Iraq's nuclear weapons makers. Instead, Bush let the scientists slip away, making the world more dangerous for all of us. Read the full report online at MotherJones.com. This has been a Mother Jones Minute.
Stephanie Miller is taking back America for the rest of us.
I love this part of the story. It's unclear whether Bush, riding in a black Suburban with tinted windows, saw the demonstrators.
So glad I got these tinted windows so don't have to look at no protesters. And I got me a DVD player with a soundproof headphones. Block out all that protesting. That Deuce Bigelow's hilarious.
Stephanie Miller. Weekday mornings at 8 on Madison's Progressive Talk. The Mike 92.1.
And now, more of Lies and the Lying Liars Who Tell Them, a fair and balanced look at the right.
When I do my corporate speeches, I normally talk to groups that are anywhere from 60 to 97% Republican. They know I'm a liberal, and they're normally aware that they're conservative, so sometimes they're a little nervous that I'll do jokes that make them uncomfortable or angry. Here's how I diffuse the situation. I say, as you can probably figure out from my book, Rush Limbaugh is a Big Fat Idiot, I'm a liberal, and I know you're conservative, and that's okay. See, I've discovered that Democrats can't afford me. Huge laugh. They love this. It makes them feel rich. Then I say, so what I do is I make fun of you, you laugh, and then you pay me. Another huge laugh. Now I can say pretty much anything I want, and they'll just laugh and pay me. Everybody's happy. Democrats are a different story. Unlike corporate events, which, by the way, I love, you can book me on the web, I speak to Democrats for free. I try not to do it too often because, you know, a guy's got to eat. So I pick and choose. And the Democrat I did the most speaking for over the years was Paul Wellstone. Part of it was that I grew up in Minnesota, and Paul knew my folks. In Wellstone's first campaign for the Senate in 1990, my dad was part of a senior citizen theater troupe that did skits for Paul at nursing homes. That's pretty grassroots, don't you think? My dad died in 1993, and my mom went downhill pretty fast. They had been married for 51 years. She got depressed and about 4 years ago went into a severe psychotic depression, which brought with it an exciting element of paranoia. One night at the hospital, I went up to one of the nurses and said, "Excuse me, it's kind of awkward to ask this, but I feel out of loyalty to my mom that I should." "Go ahead," she said. "Yeah, what I was wondering is, are you pumping poisonous gas into my mom's room? And are you videotaping her? And are you not really a nurse, but actually an actress who is trying to kill my mom?" "No," said the kindly nurse. I didn't think so, but I felt I had to ask. Fortunately, the doctors pulled Mom out of it with some miracle drug, but she's never really been the same.
A public service message from Call to Recycle.
Hi, this is Richard Karn. Recycling your old cell phone is a great thing to do for the environment. Visit calltorecycle.com or call toll-free 877-2-RECYCLE.
Progressive Talk, The Mike, 92.1, home of the Air America Radio Network. Take your seat at the mic.
Ready for a liberal helping of truth? It's more of Mike Malloy.
It's about 9 before the hour. RDM writes in, "Mike, all that's left is for Condoleezza Rice to go in front of Congress and say that last week's weather report was an historical document." Yeah, it's an outrage. Scott McClellan again on the violence and chaos that is erupting in New Orleans because of what has happened to the people who have been abandoned there. The question from the reporter, Scott, we've heard a number of reports about crime deterring people from making rescues, that FEMA has called off some rescues in some areas. The helicopters have been shot at. There's been some shooting in hospitals. Can you sort of set the record straight on what you're hearing here at the White House?
Now, the security situation is a concern. It is a priority. We are working very closely with state and local authorities. We're in close communication with Governor Blanco and other officials on these issues. And the president, I think, made it very clear earlier today that we will not tolerate lawbreakers. We will not tolerate price gouging. We will not tolerate insurance fraud. We won't tolerate looting. And there is a zero tolerance approach when it comes to these issues.
And you know he's just a lying son of a bitch, as they all are. What happened in Iraq? What did you call that? What was Rumsfeld's famous remarks about looting in Iraq? Stuff happens. You know, it's a war zone. How many vases can you steal? Or I keep seeing the same vase being stolen over and over again. These unconscionable bastards. McClellan wants to clarify the point so there's no misunderstanding whatsoever about Bush's stance on looting. When it comes to starving families, let them starve. As long as they're not white. No lawlessness will be tolerated. No medicine for the sick. No formula for the babies. No shoes for the burned feet. No food for the homeless, the elderly or the homeless or the starving. Walmart must be preserved.
Starve, you poor brown people! I gotta send more Homeland Security money to Iraq! You can eat when I say you can eat. You can drink when I say you can drink. I'm a war president! I'm a war president. I hit the trifecta. Why isn't anybody else talking about this? Every single face in New Orleans is brown. There are no white people there. Abandoned. Abandoned. Left to rot like garbage. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people. What if the tornado, the hurricane, or the levee, or whatever the hell it was, what if it would have hit Palm Beach, Florida, huh? What if it would have hit Lauderdale, huh? What would have happened then?
I see those pictures, and so do you. People trying to move through this filthy, filthy water
up to their armpits. And the kids, Christ!
McClellan, just to make sure once and for all that Bush's stance on the starving homeless people vis-a-vis them taking food and water from stores to save their lives, just so there's no misunderstanding, this reporter wants to make 100% certain Bush is not being misunderstood. He really does mean they should starve to death rather than steal a bottle of Gatorade. So the reporter says, Scott, I'm not sure I have this correct. You cited the president's zero tolerance for insurance fraud, looting, price gouging. Does he make any allowance for people who have yet to receive aid, who are taking things like water or food or shoes so they can walk in this filthy debris?
I think you heard from the president earlier today about his zero tolerance. We understand the need for food and water and supplies of that nature. That's why we have a massive effort underway to continue getting food and water and ice to those who are in need. There are ways for them to get that help. Looting is not the way for them to do it.
You filthy pig. Is that not the most vile, cold-blooded thing that this piece of crap who speaks for Bush has ever said? Huh? There are ways for them to get that help. We have zero tolerance. You want water, you sons of bitches? You want water, you'll sit there and wait. What's it been? 3 days? 4? 5? Your baby is dying. Screw you!
On Air America Radio. This is the Nation Minute on Air America Radio.
Do they teach about opportunity costs at Harvard Business School? If so, perhaps George Bush missed that class. All actions have costs. In a war, you pay with lives and taxes. And you pay another way. You limit your ability to use your resources elsewhere. As we sadly see today, Bush's misplaced priorities have compounded the terrible consequences of Hurricane Katrina. Throughout New Orleans and the Gulf Coast of Louisiana, people are asking, where are they? Where are the people who can help us? Well, one-third of the Louisiana National Guard is in Iraq, and local officials are saying that funding for flooding control in New Orleans was cut by the Bush administration and the money spent on Iraq. By focusing on trumped-up threats overseas, Bush neglected security at home. Hurricane Katrina is not just an act of God, it's a sign that Bush misused resources that are needed right here and now. For more from The Nation, go to thenation.com. I'm David Korn, Washington editor of The Nation for Air America Radio.
This is Larry King. Did you know there's finally a different form of vitamin E? Ester E, a unique form of natural E, captured for the first time in a supplement. It's the only E I take because only Ester E protects its antioxidant benefits until your body is ready to use it. And it's all natural, so it's readily absorbed. Take Ester E, like me, E-S-T-E-R-E. Advanced protection, Ester protection.
Look for Ester E and Ester C everywhere vitamins are sold.
Hi, I'm David Mirasu. For every season, there's a perfect wine. This summer, it's our smooth and vibrant Mirasu Pinot Noir. More than 150 years ago, the Mirasu family was the first to plant Pinot Noir in California. This year, our delicate vintage is great with grilled salmon and fresh summer produce. I'm David Mirasu, and I want our Pinot Noir to make your summer even brighter. Mirasu. Life is good under the sun.
Mirasu Vineyards, Hillsborough, California.
Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1, went on the air in September of 2004. As we close out our first year, we'd like to thank you for listening and our charter advertisers for supporting Progressive Talk in Madison.
Hi, this is Chad with Perlo Mattress Factory Stores in Madison, with two locations at Todd Drive in the Beltline and East Washington Avenue. Everyone here at Perlo Mattress would like to congratulate 92.1 The Mike on their first year of success and many more to come.
Here's to another year on The Mike 92.1.
I'm Ben Mazel, and I'm on The Mike.
Streaming online at themike921.com. WXXM Sun Prairie, Madison.
Now, Mrs. Johnson, before we close on your mortgage loan, I want to make sure you remember Mike.
Hi, you can trust me. I'm African-American, just like you.
So, here's the low monthly payments and interest rates we promised, and here's where they triple.
The rest of this stuff is just here to make sure that we get your house when you can't pay us back.
What a lovely house.
Predatory lenders are never this easy to spot. Call us at 866-222-FAIR and protect yourself with the facts. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Fair Housing Alliance and the Ad Council.
CNN Radio News, I'm Paul Chambers. The Senate tonight approved a $10.5 billion hurricane relief bill. Majority Leader Bill Frist says Democrats and Republicans are working fast and working together.
In Washington, we have had constant conversation. I've talked to the Democratic leader probably 4 to 5 times today. We're working in a bipartisan and nonpartisan way with the President's cabinet, with the administration, to answer the challenges that we've never seen before.
The House will meet tomorrow at noon to help speed the measure to the president's desk. Thousands of storm refugees are being moved to the Astrodome in Houston. Sean Caleb's reports most are really glad to be there.
For people coming from Louisiana area, this feels like paradise. They can go into an air-conditioned dome. They can sit in a cot. They know they're going to get a schedule. They can get a shower. They know they're going to get hot food. There are lights on. For them, this is something that they perhaps took for granted until 5 days prior to now. But now it means so much to these people. You can see it on their faces as they get off.
Mississippi Governor Haley Barbour says things are slowly getting better in his state.
Every day we've made some progress. We've made progress on almost every issue. The storm, this hurricane, overwhelmed our infrastructure. Destroyed communications, utilities.
Hundreds of patients were flown to safety Thursday from waterlogged hospitals in New Orleans and other places hit hard by Hurricane Katrina. President Bush Thursday directed the Office of Personnel Management to establish an emergency leave transfer program for federal workers affected by the storm. That means one worker can donate vacation time to another employee coping with the storm. The director of FEMA is assessing blame. He says those who failed to heed the warnings to evacuate bear some responsibility for their fate. This is CNN Radio News.
My name's Brenda, and this is my sixth day with Prilosec OTC. I used to love to garden until frequent heartburn took over like weeds. But now with Prilosec OTC, I'm back in the garden. On day 2, I planted bulbs. Day 4, I mulched. Today, I'm pruning my dogwoods. Imagine, zero heartburn for 24 hours with one pill a day. That's what's possible with Prilosec OTC. It's day 6 for me. What day are you on?
Use as directed for 14 days for treating frequent heartburn.
You've heard it's all about the O. Well, what does that mean? It means you have one place to go for a luxurious lifestyle. Overstock.com offers the web's best deals on designer fashions, books, music, sporting goods, bedding, assisted living products, all up to 70% off. Plus affordable vacation packages and an auction department with hard-to-find one-of-a-kind items. Live operators 24/7 and it's $2.95 shipping on every order. Simple, safe, and easy. Overstock.com.
Gas prices are still headed north thanks to the storm.
We getting this fuel now, $38 worth of fuel right here in Mobile, Alabama.
He's one of many motorists grappling with skyrocketing gas costs in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. Gas has risen as much as 60 cents per gallon in many places, and CNN Radio Susan Lasovich points to the devastation along the Gulf Coast.
This is an area that has so much of the oil production and the refinery production for the U.S.
9 Gulf Coast refineries have been shut down, and 90% of the Gulf's oil production has been stopped. The Federal Trade Commission will investigate complaints of price gouging at the pumps. Andy Flick, CNN Radio.
Confirmation hearings for Supreme Court nominee John Roberts get underway next week. Republicans Thursday released a list of witnesses they plan to call. Each side can call 15 witnesses. Democrats are urging Roberts not to be evasive on key issues. This is news from CNN Radio. Al Jazeera broadcast Thursday what it said was a videotape of Mohammed Sadiq, one of the 4 suicide bombers involved in the July 7th bombings in London. Senior Arab Affairs editor Octavia Nasser says Al-Qaeda's number 2 man also appeared on the videotape.
And basically, he says that Al-Qaeda has succeeded in moving the battle from the land of Islam to the land of the enemy, as he says. And this is a direct quote. But basically, he explains that this is going to continue. There will be more attacks. and the same tactic is going to be followed.
The July 7th bombings on the London transit system killed 52 people and the four bombers. Opening statements in the Robert Blake wrongful death civil trial in Burbank, California, the actor's attorney says Blake will testify that he had nothing to do with his wife's murder. I'm Paul Chambers. This is the CNN Radio Network.
Randy Rhodes, loud and left, here on Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1.
Iraq's proposed constitution reserves a central place for Islamic law while trying to safeguard personal freedoms and democracy. So essentially, the progress goes something like this. Iraqi women will have the right to sue the government after they cut off her head for wearing shorts.
Randy Rhodes, weekdays at 5 on the Mike 92.1. And the Mike921.com.
This is Mike Love of the Beach Boys. America, we need to plant more trees.
You can make the air taste fresher. Breathe as deeply as you please. Make the world a better place. Protecting our good earth with trees. Help the Arbor Day Foundation. Plant more trees across the nation. Plant a tree today for all the world to share.
Go online to arborday.org.
Fed up. This is the Mike Malloy Show on Madison's Progressive Talk. The Mike 92.1.
It's about 7 past the hour. Several of you have sent in the Rumsfeld thing. It's a variation of when people are free, they're free to loot. Is that what he said? Is that what the pig said? There's a little bit more involved in that, but that's essentially what he said where it concerned Iraq, remember? Anyway, all right, we have a couple more sound bites here, and then I want to try to get some calls in tonight. Scott McClellan again from the briefing today. They're looking for someone to blame this lack of preparedness on, right? Who do you think Scott's going to blame it on? They blame Clinton for 9/11, even though it was Bush who ignored the infamous CIA Osama Determined memo. Remember that? We all know that Bush slashed the budget to repair the compromise levees. How are you going to wiggle out of this one, Scott, huh? You Vaseline-soaked bastard. Reporter says, Scott, I know the president obviously is focused on response efforts right now, but can I talk to you about preparedness? Is the president satisfied with the way assets were pre-positioned, specifically in those areas like New Orleans and Mississippi? New Orleans particularly, a place that was identified by the Red Cross as being particularly vulnerable because of its geographical location. Is the president satisfied, Scott?
Well, one thing that I think is important to keep in mind at this time, this is the immediate aftermath of a major catastrophe. This is a time when the whole country needs to come together to help those in the region, and that's where our focus is. This is not a time to get into any finger pointing or politics or anything of that nature.
Oh yeah, okay, you pig. So hell no, there's not going to be any investigation or questions asked of yet another massive, deadly failure of this corrupt administration. Are you kidding? It's not a time to get any finger pointing or politics or anything of that nature. Oh no, of course not. So another reporter gets right to the point. Scott, there's already a line of discussion going on about the funding of projects prior to this. Whether projects in New Orleans in particular were underfunded because of the Iraq War or for other reasons. I'm talking about the Southeast Louisiana Flood Control Project, for instance. That's one some people cite where they felt they needed $60 million in the current year. They were given $10 million. You know, those types of projects, Scott. Local people were asking for money over the last couple of years. They were quoted in the local papers in 2003, 2004. They're saying they were told by federal officials that there wasn't enough money because it was going to Iraq. What about it, Scott?
You might want to talk to General Strock, who's the commander of the Army Corps of Engineers, because I think he's talked to some reporters already and talked about some of these issues. I think some people maybe have tried to make a suggestion or imply that certain funding would have prevented the flooding from happening, and he essentially said there's been nothing to suggest that whatsoever, and that it's been more of a design issue with the levees.
Oh, Jesus Christ. It's not Bush's fault for diverting the money that should have gone to these levees to Iraq. Oh, no, no, no. It's not Bush's fault for gutting just about every single domestic program, like wetlands, like environmental protection, like the levees. No, no, no. It's the levees' fault for breaking. Those damn engineers didn't do their job. It's not Bush's fault. Oh, no, 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 no. There was a design failure. Now, that has even if there is, how does that change the fact that Bush diverted this money for his war in Iraq and the tax cuts to the pigs that eventually in this country are going to pay? They are going to pay. This top 2-3% who are taking everything away from everybody else, they're going to pay at some point. You do not have a society that remains stable where the disparity is so pronounced in the way the wealth is distributed as we have in this country. It does not remain stable. Eventually, it sinks into either revolution or anarchy. And when that happens, do you think the pigs who live in their walled-in communities are going to be protected? They think so. Back to Bush with his daddy and Clinton. What the hell is Clinton doing? They're going to do what? Go out and raise money for disaster relief? These unconscionable bastards with Bill Clinton standing there? You want to raise money? I'll tell you the quickest way to raise money, Mr. Clinton, Mr. Bush, and Mr. Bush bastard. I'll tell you how to do it. Those trillion-dollar tax cuts, $2.3 trillion and then $1.7 trillion, the ones that the Senate or the House or one of these ugly bodies of Republicans are coming back next week to make permanent? You want to raise money? Cut the tax cut to these rich pig bastards by, oh, I don't know, a fifth. You think they can afford that? No, 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 no. I'll tell you what, do. Ask ExxonMobil that's destroying the whole damn planet, much less this economy. Ask them. They're making $7, $8, $10 billion a month in profit. Ask them, oh, give us a couple of months' profit. Would you do that? So there they stand. Clinton, why is Clinton not reaching over and grabbing both of these Bushes around the throats and saying, you filthy America-destroying animals? Why isn't he doing that, huh? Why is Bill Clinton sucking up to this gang of outlaws? Maybe because he is just like them. So, since the criticism is building that he's not doing squat to help the hurricane victims, Bush brings out his daddy and Clinton to stand with him as he spouts more empty rhetoric to an increasingly enraged American public. I'm enraged. Are you? Can there be any doubt now, you red state freaks, that this man cares not a whit for any one of you? You dumb bastards that vote for this guy over and over again. You dumb bastards. You want to know what he's really worried about where it concerns this disaster? How he was working hard today to help the victims? You want to listen up.
I met with Chairman Greenspan at lunch, as well as the economic team, to evaluate the impact of Hurricane Katrina. We particularly spent a lot of time talking about the damage done to our energy infrastructure and its effect on the availability and price of gasoline.
Oh, gasoline. Gasoline? What about the victims? What about the dead and the homeless and the kids and the old people and the wounded and the people drowning and cooking in New Orleans? Oh, you're worried about the energy infrastructure and the effect on the availability and price of gasoline. Is that what you're worrying about? Here, listen. Listen, you red state animals. Listen to your leader. This is your compassionate president.
In our judgment, we view this storm as a temporary disruption.
In what?
We've taken immediate steps to address the issue. The
what
Secretary
issue?
Of Energy is approving loans of crude oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve.
Oh, you bastard.
The EPA has provided a temporary nationwide waiver for fuel requirements so supplies of gasoline can move more easily within our country and so that we can attract more gasoline from overseas.
But what about the missing insulin for diabetics? Well, in New Orleans, what about the little black babies there? Don't have any water or formula. What are they supposed to eat? You murdering bastard! Crude oil, gasoline. We view this storm as a temporary disruption in the lives of the victims, in the history of a great American city. No. In the distribution of gasoline, for Christ's sake!
We're also working with energy companies to repair and reactivate major refineries and pipelines. The good folks must understand that major refineries have been shut down, which means it's going to be hard to get gasoline to some markets. We're working to help these pipelines get up and running. Pipelines carry refined product.
Listen to this.
We're working with the major oil companies to get with Colonial Pipeline so they can carry the products of the major oil companies, the refined products.
Oh, my God. Do you hear that? Do you hear that? This was his chance to go on national TV with his daddy and this Democrat whore, Bill Clinton, to show his unwavering concern for the plight of the stranded victims of this terrible disaster. And he's talking about, we're going to get the pipelines up and running so the pipelines can carry refined product, so the oil companies will be okay. This is your president!
Sitting there yakking right in my face. I guess I'm gonna have to put you in your place. You know, if silence was golden, you couldn't raise a dime. Because your mind is on vacation and your mouth is working overtime.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio. Support the troops, not the liars. This is Madison's Progressive Talk, The Mike 92.1.
This is a Mother Jones Minute. George Bush invaded Iraq under the pretense of weapons of mass destruction. So you'd think the first thing America would do after invading would be to track down the Iraqi scientist who worked on WMDs in the 80s and 90s. Well, think again. This month's Mother Jones magazine reveals that the Bush administration put almost no effort into tracking down Saddam's nuclear scientists. Iraq had many scientists with working knowledge of WMDs who could sell their services to the highest bidder. But a source tells Mother Jones that only three of Iraq's top 200-some nuclear scientists have been accounted for. The others are missing. If the Bush administration had actually cared about WMDs, it would have made an effort to find Iraq's nuclear weapons makers. Instead, Bush let the scientists slip away, making the world more dangerous for all of us. Read the full report online at MotherJones.com. This has been a Mother Jones Minute.
Hi, I'm Peter Lauper with Jay Harris, publisher of Mother Jones Magazine. This week on Mother Jones Radio, we deal with the hurricane.
We'll be talking to a sergeant in the Louisiana National Guard stationed in Baghdad, watching the crisis on television and wishing she were home.
and with the journalist who documented the numerous stories that predicted the scale of this catastrophe.
Mother Jones Radio, Sunday at noon on Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1.
There's
and
only
the Mike
one
92.1.com.
Thing more destructive than a typical male right-wing pundit. A typical female right-wing pundit. So Ring of Fire salutes the dedicated women who succeeded in the male-dominated field of mean-spirited commentary on today's Triumph of the Shrill. This week, Ann Coulter. The woman so powerful that she single-handedly destroyed Paula Jones. Coulter grew up in Connecticut, where she became popular with her school chums through her infectious sense of humor.
Mommy says you're going to hell. Now give me your lunch money. Stop crying. Can't you take a joke?
It only got better from there. She became a lawyer, then a commentator. Suddenly, liberals hated her. How could that be, when all she ever wanted to do was bring America together?
Liberals hate America. They hate flag wavers. They hate abortion opponents. They hate all religions except Islam post 9/11. Even Islamic terrorists don't hate America like liberals do. Hey, I'm funny. Just like Dave Barry, right?
Then she joined Paula Jones' case against President Bill Clinton. One lawyer said Jones didn't have a case and should take a settlement. But Coulter made sure she didn't.
We were terrified that Jones would settle. It was contrary to our purpose of bringing down the president.
$700,000 in legal bills later, a judge told Jones...
You don't have a case. You should take a settlement.
Jones went broke. Coulter made a small fortune writing a book about it and called Jones... What were Coulter's exact words again?
Trailer park trash.
That's it. Now, after making a career out of trying to bring down a president, she accuses liberals of trying to bring down another president.
It would be a much better country if women did not vote. I'm all for public flogging. Republicans don't have any money. You're all traitors. Why isn't anybody looking at me? I'm funny. Look over here.
Yes, Ann Coulter has helped invent a new kind of national dialogue. The kind of dialogue in which we're not actually talking to each other. For that, Ann Coulter is today's triumph of the shrill.
Stupid, stupid, infinity times stupid. Shut up!
You're on the mic, 92.1.
This is Angela, and I'm so happy to have 92.1 in Madison.
Madison's Progressive Talk, the mic, 92.1.
Been real long delay. Bought my ticket yesterday. I ain't going back to me.
Listen, this nation is committed to dealing with poverty. First, let me make it very clear, poor people aren't necessarily killers. Just because you happen to be not rich doesn't mean you're willing to kill.
It's about 23 past the hour. Larry sent us a couple of people have sent it also. Here's the quote. Declaring that freedom is untidy, Rumsfeld said Friday the looting in Iraq was a result of, quote, pent-up feelings, end quote, of oppression, and that it would subside as Iraqis adjusted to life without Saddam Hussein. He also asserted the looting was not as bad as some television and newspaper reports have indicated and said there was no major crisis in Baghdad. The looting, he suggested, was, quote, part of the price, end quote, for what the United States and Britain have called the liberation of Iraq. Rumsfeld said, quote, freedom's untidy, and free people are free to make mistakes and commit crimes and do bad things. They're also free to live their lives and do wonderful things, and that's what's going to happen here, close quote. Looting, he added, was not uncommon for countries that experienced significant social upheaval. Stuff happens, Rumsfeld said. And now I've gotten two emails. I don't know if they're true. I don't have the time or to get a cross reference on this, but two of you have sent it in now. It says order shoot to kill is now going into effect in New Orleans. This is what it says. This is from the Agence France-Presse. Iraq tested soldiers in New Orleans with shoot-to-kill orders. It says a detachment of 300 Arkansas National Guard troops landed in anarchic New Orleans on Thursday with the authorization to shoot-to-kill, quote, hoodlums, close quote, Louisiana Governor Kathleen Blanco said. Blanco said, quote, 300 of the Arkansas National Guard have landed in the city of New Orleans. These troops are fresh back from Iraq, well-trained, experienced, battle-tested under my orders to restore order in the streets. They have M16s, and they're locked and loaded. These troops know how to shoot and kill, and they're more than willing to do so if necessary, and I expect they will. That doesn't sound like a responsible statement from a governor. I don't know where that is coming from. The byline indicates that it's from the French news agency, AFP. But I thank the people who sent it in, but I'm going to reserve believing that one for a while. I just don't think that that's the case at this point, especially the direct quote from the governor of Louisiana. I can't believe a governor would make those kinds of statements, all right? So for those of you who sent it in, sent me the link, and I went to the link, I have my doubts on this one. Bush again, we have two more of these, bear with me. Two more from Bush with his daddy beside him and this Democratic whore, Bill Clinton. I all of a sudden I can't stand him anymore. I can't stand him anymore, Bill Clinton. To me, he is as corrupt and degenerate as the Bushes. He has become almost like an associate of the Bush crime family. I'm sorry, for you people that love Bill Clinton, as far as the way things happened for 8 years under Clinton, it wasn't very painful for me. It probably wasn't very painful for you either. A lot of people suffered a lot of pain under Clinton during those 8 years. But I've had enough of this son of a bitch. I've had enough of him and his crazy-ass wife. I've had enough, okay? The Clintons can go straight to hell along with the Bushes, all of them. I've had enough of Bill Clinton. I've had it with this guy. I've had it with this guy. And there he is up there once again with these monsters who caused this trouble, and there's Clinton. And I'll say it again. Why isn't Clinton grabbing them by their neckties and shaking them till both these old bastards' teeth rattle out of their mouths about why they have destroyed the United States? But that's not Clinton. That's not Clinton. Bill Clinton stands there today with that hangdog look on his face. I don't have time to play this. Damn. All right. We got two more. We'll play it when we come back. Clinton and Pappy and the little Bush bastard standing there. It's just an outrage. Bill Clinton, go to hell.
Lord, for a good many years. Sound like to me I can hear this morning people. Death bell ringing all in my ear. Sound like to me I can hear this morning people. Death bell ringing all in my ear.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio. Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1. Progressive Talk for a progressive town.
Hi, my name is Joy, and I'm a mystery shopper. Now, my friends think I have the absolute dream job. Don't get me wrong, it's great, but I tell them there's a little bit of work involved. I have to get out of bed, get dressed, plan out which shops to go to, and evaluate my shopping experience. Well, sure, I get paid to shop, but it's not like I can just sleep in and watch soap operas all day. Now, that would be a dream job.
Have you ever wondered how people get an inside track to become a paid mystery shopper? If you're self-disciplined and self-motivated, there are over 40,000 retail chains looking for mystery shoppers across the country. We work with large retailers, grocery chains, restaurants, and banks who need shoppers to evaluate things like customer service, store cleanliness, and parking. So if you like to shop and have a valid email address, we have assignments available now for men and women 18 years and older. Call 1-800-416-0859 to find out how you can get paid to shop. That's 1-800-416-0859. Paid shopping assignments are now available in your area. 1-800-416-0859.
This is a Mother Jones Minute. George Bush invaded Iraq under the pretense of weapons of mass destruction. So you'd think the first thing America would do after invading would be to track down the Iraqi scientist who worked on WMDs in the 80s and 90s. Well, think again. This month's Mother Jones Magazine reveals that the Bush administration put almost no effort into tracking down Saddam's nuclear scientists. Iraq had many scientists with working knowledge of WMDs who could sell their services to the highest bidder. But a source tells Mother Jones that only three of Iraq's top 200-some nuclear scientists have been accounted for. The others are missing. If the Bush administration had actually cared about WMDs, it would have made an effort to find Iraq's nuclear weapons makers. Instead, Bush let the scientists slip away, making the world more dangerous for all of us. Read the full report online at MotherJones.com. This has been a Mother Jones Minute.
The Al Franken Show, Catherine and Al, America's answer to the lying liars, here on the Mike 92.1.
I am neither Al Franken nor Catherine Lamper. I'm Rachel Maddow, sitting in for Al and Catherine this week while they take a much-deserved break. And we are, of course, talking about Hurricane Katrina and its aftermath. This was a natural disaster. The hurricane was a natural disaster. But is the flood a natural disaster? In 2001, the Federal Emergency Management Agency ranked the potential damage to New Orleans from a hurricane and a flood as among the three likeliest, most catastrophic disasters facing this country. FEMA, before 9/11, in early 2001, said the top three most likely catastrophic disasters facing this country are a massive earthquake in San Francisco, a major flood and hurricane in New Orleans, and a terrorist attack on New York City. That was their prediction in early 2001. Now, the New Orleans hurricane scenario, they said in the face of an approaching storm, this is not this week, this was 4 years ago, before 9/11, FEMA said, in the face of an approaching storm, New Orleans' less than adequate evacuation routes would strand 250,000 people or more and probably kill one of 10 left behind as the city drowned under 20 feet of water. What are we looking at now? A million people stranded. And a city, as they said, 4 years ago, prophetically, drowning under 20 feet of water. This wasn't Nostradamus. This wasn't a fortune cookie. This was the federal government under George W. Bush. The federal government under George W. Bush, the Emergency Management Agency, said we got three possibilities that are really catastrophic in this country. Terrorist attack on New York City? Uh-huh. Flood and hurricane? In New Orleans? Uh-huh. And an earthquake in San Francisco, God forbid. The preparation for this is inexcusable.
The Al Franken Show.
Hi, this is Al Franken. As you can tell from the sound of my paddle striking the water, I'm not in my studio in New York City. But wait, if I'm not there, you're asking, how can I possibly do the show? Here's my secret. It is now possible for me to go on vacation while Air America's Rachel Maddow takes the reins on my program. You'll hear Rachel Maddow's views on Rachel Maddow's news on a special Al Franken-less week of the Al Franken Show.
Weekdays at 11 on Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1.
Welcome to Arizona, partner. The official state neckwear is the bola, so take off that tie. Nothing says Wild West like wearing a shoelace around your neck. The original Arizonians included the Hopi, the Apache, and the Navajo. They fought with each other until the white man arrived, and the Indians were finally free to set aside their differences and sell turquoise on the side of the road. Eventually, Arizona became part of the land the United States won in the Mexican-American War. The Mexicans gave up almost half their land in exchange for not giving up the rest. Uncle Sam sure knows how to drive a bargain. Demographic change came to Arizona after the Second World War with the Great Migration of the Old People. Spurred on by rumors of a land with a nice dry heat and reasonably priced buffets, America's elderly came in droves to retire. Great caravans of Airstream trailers stretched to the horizon. The main industry is tourism. It's called the Grand Canyon State, but there's much more to Arizona than just a huge hole in the ground. For starters, there's another huge hole in the ground. A giant meteor crater whimsically named Meteor Crater. No other state has been so truly blessed by bombardment from space. In 1971, the London Bridge was purchased and moved to Lake Havasu. Freed from its shroud of London fog, the bridge was able to find its true calling as a backdrop for frolicking teens at MTV spring break parties. From those tequila-soaked teenagers to the senior citizens crowding the Sizzler salad bar, Arizona has something for everybody.
Thanks for switching on Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1. Bookmark our website and listen live online at themike921.com.
Like it's gonna rain all night, and this is the time I love to be holding you. guess I'll have to accept the fact that you're not here. I wish the night would hurry up. And
standing up to the flying monkey ride, it's more of Mike Malloy.
So hard, it's really coming down. Sitting by my window, watching the rain fall to the ground. This is the
time. It's about 23 past or before the hour. This is from C. It was suggested to me that by someone that it seems like the lack of assistance in New Orleans was meant to provoke people to extreme violence and chaos. It certainly looks that way to me. But what if New Orleans is being used as a test case to see, in a real-world setting, how easily a motivated, angry population and the military personnel forced to do the dirty work could be subdued and controlled to create a working model of how to impose endless martial law throughout the country, while keeping those who might resist under the lid and those in the armed forces in line? It's a thought because I find it absolutely incredible how inept the response has been to the point of criminality on the part of the federal government. All right, you don't have to send me any more other sources. The Melbourne, Australia Herald Sun is reporting the shoot-to-kill orders in New Orleans. The Aaron Brown on CNN is reporting the shoot-to-kill orders in New Orleans. Reuters News Agency is reporting the shoot-to-kill orders in New Orleans. So there you have it. How do you deal with people who are pushed over the edge? You kill them. I'll tell you, Kathy, you know, as I look at you through the glass here and our baby's asleep over there, I am about 3 inches from walking out and never coming back to this filthy, disgusting country until this ends. I am so close because I'm starting not to be able to trust my reactions. I just read a story from the Houston Chronicle about people who are showing up at the Astrodome. No, they're not on the buses. Black folk again, who had driven for 14 hours with babies, and they're being told, no, you didn't come on the bus. And the woman in the story said, but I have no place to go, I have no money, I have nothing to feed my babies with, my children with, and they're being turned away. I can't take this. I can't. Well, what, open your mic. What if it was you and me and Molly out here?
Well, I think that this is a definite sign that the tide is going to change. I don't think there's a way that America won't wake up after this. I really do. I think you've got to stay for that, for the awakening, for, you know, America Part 2. The
Kathy, with all due respect, because I'm married to you and we've been together for 10 years, but the governor of Louisiana has given permission for the United States military to enter into her city and shoot people down in the street like dogs if they feel. And remember what martial law is about. It's not about civil rights. It's not about the Constitution. It's about death and war. And if you're a soldier and you've been ordered to shoot to kill, you don't stop somebody and ask for identification. You shoot them. Now, that's what's been ordered in New Orleans. That's where we are. These filthy sons of bitches allowed this to happen to the point where these people have been sitting there for 4 and 5 days in these conditions, and now the governor has ordered troops to go into New Orleans and start killing people. I don't know how close we are to a complete breakdown of civil order in this country, but I'm not feeling good tonight. I just am not. Now, I want your opinion. You've got a baby here, okay? I've got grown children. You and I have a baby together. My grown children will make it on their own. I said earlier tonight, I've got a firefighter as a son. I've got a writer as a daughter. I've got a preschool teacher as another daughter. And you know, they're doing what they can. But what the hell are we going to do? Now, what's your thoughts? We got a year-old baby here.
Well, I think if they're, you know, I mean, part of rebuilding America might necessitate a revolution. I'm not saying that's not going to happen. I'm just saying that there's reason for me to hold on, and a lot of that has to do with you and the baby. And I think that, you know, sometimes change take something dramatic and horrifying and traumatic like this to happen to really wake people up, and I think it's going to happen. I have to think it's going to happen until I see something that shows me it's not.
Okay. Back to Bush with his father and his Democrat whore up at the podium with him today. I'm sorry to keep playing. Is this getting tiresome? We need to hear this because this shows more than anything else what George W. Bush really cares about.
Another challenge we face is that the downed pipelines are causing the need to transport gasoline to needed markets by ship. And there are currently not enough American ships to move the oil and gasoline to where it's needed. So today I've instructed Secretary of Homeland Security Chairman Chertoff to temporarily waive this requirement so foreign ships can also help distribute oil and gasoline to where it's needed. Today's action will further help us move gasoline to accommodate the demands of the American citizens.
Jesus Christ. Why not send the ships to rescue actual Americans instead of oil and gas, you filthy pig? Why not use the ships to get food and water to the victims? You dirty, filthy, filthy. Finally, he did stop talking about oil long enough to discuss the actual human victims of this disaster. So what's his plan to help? He expects you to pony up, citizen. You come up with the cash for the victims. Because, you know, he needs to focus on his oil wars and tax cuts for the wealthy and moving all that crude through the pipelines.
This recovery is going to be a long process. It's going to take a lot of hard work and patience and resolve. It's also going to require a lot of money. And the federal government will do its part.
Liar.
But the private sector needs to do its part as well.
You bastard.
And that's why I've asked Presidents Bush and Clinton to lead a nationwide fundraising effort to help the victims of Hurricane Katrina. In the days ahead, the former presidents will ask Americans to open their hearts and their wallets to help those in need.
Because, as you can tell, I got to focus on that pipeline problem. I just can't believe it.
I was really shocked when I was watching that today from our sick bed at home. In about a 20-minute speech, he must have spent 15 minutes talking about oil and gas. And, you know, 5 minutes maybe talking about, you know, oh, yeah, disaster relief, blah, 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 the, you know, don't loot, here comes the food and water, just, you know, it's coming. And I kept thinking, you know, the entire world, like you said earlier, is watching this. Everybody in America is watching this. Does he not realize, do speech not writers not realize how callous and uncaring he appears to the public and to the world when he talks about, you know, oh, well, you know, Americans are going to get lower prices at the pump. We're working to get the refinery up and running, and we're watching people starving and screaming and waving flags and saying, bring us food, bring us food. And he thinks all we care about is whether or not we're paying $3 a gallon for gas?
You've got to understand that Karl Rove has made it very clear to George W. Bush that you play to your base. The white people out there who are holding on for dear life because of Bush's policies, the white people that support Bush, the so-called red state voters, these right-wing Republicans, they expect to see the Negroes shot dead in the street if they break into a grocery store to get water for their babies. They expect it. They want Bush to order it. Let me tell you something. Tonight, the people are hearing about the order shoot to kill. The only thing that has them upset about that, the ones that agree with it, are the ones who are saying, well, why didn't Bush order it? Why'd that bitch governor of Louisiana, isn't she a Democrat? Why did she order it? George got to order. Kill those dirty, rotten looters. And, of course, they're using the N-word, which apparently I'm not allowed to use on this network, but that's what's going on, and you know it as well as I know it. You know it as well as I know it. Let me just share something with you here quickly from Martha in Denver. She writes, I'm ashamed of our country. I'm ashamed that we see gas lines in the most damaged regions of our country where survivors' only hope lies in the belief they will be rescued and aided in escaping to somewhere that doesn't resemble a war zone. I'm ashamed that our troops are in Iraq and continue to be there when the troubles that are beginning will continue to grow are being used to punish thousands of innocent victims left to fend for themselves against the lawlessness. Our emergency aid workers and volunteers are not trained to deal with violent, threatening, homeless, helpless, scared, malnourished, and unclean humans whose very existence is threatened by our lackluster response. Mostly I'm ashamed of our president. I always have been, but more so now than ever. How about a refugee camp in Crawford or on the White House lawn? I am sickened. We have first responders trained to deal with terrorist attacks who are deployed elsewhere, and the worst natural disaster in our history is just not important enough.
He's getting over. The rumors say he's fooling around. Your face, sadly pressed up on my shoulder. Too bad to hear he's putting you down. No one knows about it.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio. Tough questions, progressive answers. This is Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1.
President Bush's approval ratings are plumbing new depths, and when push comes to shove, when Bush comes to rove and says, Turd Blossom, you got me into this, now get me out, you're going to need an intelligent guide back to reality. The Nation magazine. Right now, you can try The Nation absolutely free. There's a reason why it's America's fastest-growing journal of opinion. Nobody owns The Nation, not Murdoch, not Time Warner, nobody. So there's no corporate slant or Oval Office spin. In an age when a favored White House reporter turns out to be a male escort in disguise, The Nation's 140-year-old journalistic integrity is more essential than ever. Just call 800-999-6863. Or go to readthenation.com. Try their free four-issue mini subscription. After 4 weeks, you can write cancel on the invoice. But most of our listeners happily sign up for 24 weeks at just $13.95. So do it. Read The Nation for 4 weeks risk-free. The number again is 800-999-6863 or visit readthenation.com.
Morning's Edition.
On Friday, Mark and Mark talk with author David Sedaris.
There was a woman in England who sold her virginity over the internet. And so I was listening to a talk radio program, and the host said, all right, listeners, what do you think about that? And they said, well, college does cost a lot. And they were very calm about it. American talk radio hosts tend to be more, she sold her virginity on the internet. She's done this to us.
That and more on Friday's Morning's Edition.
Start your day on the Mike 92.1. Streaming at themike921.com.
Hey, Maren. Sorry to interrupt you, buddy, but Future Mark is on line one.
Future Mark, great. Put him through.
Hey, buddy, what's up?
Hey, buddy, what's up? So what's going on in 2050 today?
Well, I'm getting my kidney replaced. It's been about 3 months, and I was at the hospital anyway, so I thought, you know, what the hell? But that's not really why I'm at the hospital.
So why are you at the hospital?
I had to bring my clone in because he hurt himself.
Oh, no. Is he, are they okay? I mean, are you guys okay? What happened?
Well, he's fine. They're always fine. I just, I kind of beat him up.
Whoa. You beat up your clone? Well, I'm sorry, buddy, but that's kind of creepy.
All right, well, look, you know how you spent all those years beating yourself up? Well, in 2050, that's all over, my friend. You just take it out on the clone. It's actually why most people have them anyway.
Wait, so in the future I have a clone, and I just use him as a punching bag?
Well, that's not what he's for. You know, he cooks, he cleans, he does the things you don't want to do. He attends events for me sometimes. He stands in line for stuff. I make him buy condoms. Yeah, stuff like that.
But mostly you just hit him.
You don't understand, Mark. Crime has gone way down because of clones. They take the brunt of people's frustrations. There's hardly any more domestic abuse now that you can kick your clone's ass instead.
Look, I'm sorry, man, but it just sounds exactly like domestic abuse to me.
No, it's not. They don't bleed or anything. They don't even feel physical pain. I even shot him once, and then I sent him out for pizza. The problem is, actually, you can hurt their feelings. I mean, they are still you, you know.
Mr. Marin, your clone is ready to go home now.
Oh, hey, Mark, my clone's here. Hold on. You told me he fell down the stairs, right? Like we said, right?
Wow, this is really weird. I mean, I don't want to judge you, but man, So is everybody like this to their clones?
Hey, I'm one of the nice ones, okay? I mean, I'm not a clonist or anything. I've even been to Clone Town, like, a bunch of times. As long as they know their place. You know what I'm saying? I mean, can you imagine if they could vote? Wow, that'd be awful.
Oh, man. Dude, I usually enjoy these conversations, but today you're really making me kind of sad. Kind of bummed, a little freaked out. But is there anything you want to tell me before I go?
Yeah, actually. Did you see the movie Signs?
You mean the one about the crop circles and the aliens?
Exactly. Okay, so here's what you need to do. You need to rent it again and kind of get the message. And just for your own peace of mind, you might want to have a super soaker filled with water on you pretty much all the time.
Okay, man. But look, be nicer to your clone.
Yeah, whatever. Later, man.
Later.
You're on the mic.
My favorite show between Randy Rhoads and Al Franken.
Madison's Progressive Talk, The Mic, 92.1.
I hear somebody crying.
Your host for a Peance Freeance future, it's Mike Malloy.
It's about 9 before the hour. One of our crew in New York City, one of our engineers, as a matter of fact, Jason Isaac, spent a lot of time in New Orleans. Is that right, Jason?
Yeah, I was there for 5 years, actually.
Tell us your take on what's going on. I know you still have people you're in contact with down there, obviously. What are you hearing? What are you getting?
Okay, well, everybody that I am close with is accounted for, so that's good news. The last person that I know that was in the city got out today. And his experience was he had about a mile to drive from his apartment where he was staying to the Crescent City Connection Bridge, which is the only way out, and was nearly carjacked. It was 2 or 3 times in between the apartment and the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
So things are pretty ugly there, and apparently it's some kind of racial component to what's going on in the streets now as far as who's shooting at who. And it's a really, really bad situation as far as that goes.
When you say racial component, do you mean? Because as far as I've seen on television, the only people left in New Orleans for the most part are black folk.
The person that relayed that story to me used the phrase race war. I don't know, you know, I have no way of knowing what's accurate and what's not anymore, but apparently... you have white business owners defending their property against the black people that are looting or scavenging or whatever's going on, and it's a sad situation. You know, what else can you say?
Yeah. Did your friend or friends, as they left today, did they have any indication about? Or any information about the shoot-to-kill business or the conditions in New Orleans? I can't believe that a city like New Orleans has been reduced to this.
In
5 days. It's beyond comprehension.
We didn't really get into any of that stuff. Actually, the first I heard of the shoot-to-kill thing was when I walked into work tonight, so this is new to me. You know, there's no services in the city. There's no food. There's no water, no gas, no phones, no electricity, nothing. It's 95 degrees there, probably, or 90 degrees or so. That's typically what it is at the end of August, beginning of September. Humidity is always close to 100%.
Right.
You've got mosquitoes now that are going to be exploding. I mean, it's got to be even if you were in one of the parts of the city that did not flood, it's got to be the most uncomfortable conditions imaginable.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even imagine it. I mean, I know what it's like to be in New Orleans in August. You walk outside and you're drenched with sweat in about 30 seconds, and that's not even an exaggeration. And
imagine if you're carrying your 18-month-old child
and haven't eaten in 4 days,
and the kid has nothing to eat or drink. I am not an advocate of lawlessness. I do believe that in order for society to survive, it's got to have rules that everybody lives by. But the Bush administration has been looting everything. They have been looting our treasury. They've been looting the American people. They've been looting every place they go. And now we have a situation in New Orleans where people have been left to fend for themselves. And I just almost refuse to accept the term looting. I saw those early pictures of some of these young black men, you know, yelling and screaming in front of the camera, holding up televisions and sneakers and so on and so forth. Yeah, those are punk-ass thugs, and they should be dealt with. But the people now, to the point where, you know, if there's some white man protecting his grocery store, he's out of his mind. I mean, he's out of his mind.
Yeah, gotta let it go now.
He ought to walk away. He ought to open the grocery store and say, "Come in and get it," because you know, I don't want to see you or me or my baby or your baby starve or die of thirst. This is extraordinary situation, and the normal rules do not apply when you're in an extraordinary situation like this. They never have, they never will. The thing that disturbs me, Jason, is the fact that the governor of Louisiana now has issued this shoot to kill thing. This is going to happen. You know it. I know it. On top of the people that are dying from these twin disasters, the hurricane and the flood and the starvation and so on and so forth, and the sick people that are dying because they can't get their medicines or their dialysis or whatever, there's going to be people shot down in the street.
People left, people down there with nothing left. They didn't have much to begin with, and now they've got nothing, and they're armed to the teeth. You know, what do you think is going to happen?
Well, I know.
Is, you know, it's the same. There is a parallel here with what went on in Iraq. You know, you've been saying it, and it's the same thing all over again.
Yeah.
And it's not like they weren't warned. I mean, I was in New Orleans for 5 years. Every summer, as hurricane season is approaching, the Times-Picayune would run an article or a series of articles describing what would happen if New Orleans absorbed a direct hit from a hurricane. And the descriptions fit the reality that we're seeing now to the letter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, scary how prescient it was, you know?
Yeah, I hear you. Well, if you feel free to chime in at any point. We're going to be talking about this tomorrow and probably Monday and Tuesday. I am really, really concerned about what's going to happen. New Orleans may be the crack in this society that lets this fascism just rush in. Thanks for the insight, Jason.
No problem.
All right. We have another hour here, so can I drink a beer, Kathy, or is the medicine I've been taking kind of preclude that?
Beer and codeine probably equal a best of third hour if you wanted to mix that.
All right, I better not then. Yeah, the doctor gave me a believe it or not, a codeine base. What is it called? Tushinex?
It's called Wonderful Stuff.
Not to me. I hate it. It gives me hallucinations. The first night I took it, I thought Bush was in my bedroom. Quick break. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy.
America Radio.
Hi, my name is Joy, and I'm a mystery shopper. Now, my friends think I have the absolute dream job. Don't get me wrong, it's great, but I tell them there's a little bit of work involved. I have to get out of bed, get dressed, plan out which shops to go to, and evaluate my shopping experience. Well, sure, I get paid to shop, but it's not like I can just sleep in and watch soap operas all day. Now, that would be a dream job.
Have you ever wondered how people get an inside track to become a paid mystery shopper? If you're self-disciplined and self-motivated, there are over 40,000 retail chains looking for mystery shoppers across the country. We work with large retailers, grocery chains, restaurants, and banks who need shoppers to evaluate things like customer service, store cleanliness, and parking. So if you like to shop and have a valid email address, we have assignments available now for men and women 18 years and older. Call 1-800-416-0859 to find out how you can get paid to shop. That's 1-800-416-0859. Paid shopping assignments are now available in your area. 1-800-416-0859.
Stephanie Miller is taking back America for the rest of us.
Clarity by D.H. Rumsfeld.
I think what you'll find is
Whatever it is we do substantively, there will be near perfect clarity as to what it is. And it will be known to you, probably before we decide it.
It's kind of beautiful, right?
If it weren't about death and destruction and war, yes.
It's Stephanie Miller. Weekday mornings at 8 on Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1.
This is Mark Maron from Morning Sedition. I'm on the mic.
The Mike 92.1, WXXM Sun Prairie, Madison.
Eating 5 or more servings of fruits and vegetables a day is important, but it's sometimes easier said than done with children. A serving of 100% white grape juice is a healthy, convenient way for young children to get one of those 5 servings. And introducing 100% juice in the daycare and elementary school years is a great way to establish a lifelong pattern of healthy eating. A message from the Produce for Better Health Foundation and Welch's.
CNN Radio News. I'm Paul Chambers. The Senate late Thursday night approved of $10.5 billion in hurricane relief. Mississippi Senator Thad Cochran says the money is badly needed.
The whole coastal area of the state has been destroyed, virtually destroyed. There are a few buildings that are left standing. A few. Those may not be habitable.
The House will take up the bill at noon Friday. It will likely be on the president's desk a short time later. FEMA Director Michael Brown is fending off criticism that his agency is not doing enough to help hurricane victims. Brown was also assessing blame. He says the death toll may go into the thousands because people didn't heed the warnings to evacuate.
I don't make judgments about why people choose not to evacuate, but you know, there was a mandatory evacuation of New Orleans, and to find people still there is just heart-wrenching to me because the mayor did everything he could to get them out of there.
The mayor of New Orleans and the Louisiana governor also agreed the death toll may be in the thousands. Groups of armed men are reportedly patrolling the streets of New Orleans, making it an extremely dangerous place to be.
Police have said the average everyday citizen is pretty much gone. The men who are left on the street with these guns are the hardest of the hard. And one officer said, they don't respect the police. They may fear us a little bit because we have guns, too, but they will not hesitate to shoot.
Chris Lawrence reporting from New Orleans. Rock and roll pioneer Fats Domino was among the thousands of New Orleans residents plucked from the rising floodwaters. That according to his daughter, who lives in New Jersey. Domino was seen being rescued in a photograph, but his present whereabouts is not immediately known. This is CNN Radio News.
This is Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. Give someone special to you the gift that will be remembered for years to come. Name a star after them. The Star Registry will name a star after anyone on your gift list for $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com. It's the perfect gift for birthdays, weddings, and just about any occasion. Give the ultimate gift. Call the Star Registry at 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com. We proudly support the Starlight Starbright Children's Foundation.
There's actually a town in Texas called New York. Population, 12.
Howdy!
Hi. Now, it's a great town, but it's not the same as the original. Like generic stress formulas that compare themselves to new improved Stress Tabs Advanced. Only Stress Tabs Advanced has Ester C, proven more effective for vitamin C absorption, plus 14 vital nutrients that put back what stress takes away. Stress Tabs. Anything else would be less tabs. Also, check out Stress Tabs Weight and Stress Tabs Energy.
Folks are getting rather upset at the higher gas prices. Andy Flick has more.
Gas prices have risen as much as 60 cents a gallon in most areas, and some motorists believe they're being cheated. The Energy Department's price gouging hotline has received more than 5,000 phone calls. This woman, filling her gas tank in Mobile, Alabama, says somebody deserves blame.
It's horrible. This, which all you can say is greed. And I don't know if you classified the government or who. But it's coming from somewhere, the greed, and this is wrong.
The Federal Trade Commission is promising to investigate. Andy Flick, CNN Radio.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says it's hoping to avoid a repeat of last year's flu vaccine shortage. The CDC in Atlanta says 4 companies are ready to provide the vaccine this year. As a precaution, the agency wants flu shots given first to people who are at risk of severe complications. This is news from CNN Radio. Al Jazeera broadcast Thursday what it said was a videotape of Mohammed Sadiq, one of the four suicide bombers involved in the July 7th bombings in London. Senior Arab Affairs editor Octavia Nasri says the tape's producer has been heard from before.
The group that produced this video is called Al-Sahab. In Arabic, this translates to the clouds. We've heard from this group many, many times before. They seem to be synonymous with Al-Qaeda video productions. They, as a matter of fact, produce the testimonies of all 9/11 hijackers.
The July 7th bombings on the London transit system killed 52 people and the four bombers. Typhoon Talim is now just a tropical storm. Damage along China's southern coast said to be minor. One person was killed by the storm in Taiwan. I'm Paul Chambers. This is the CNN Radio Network.
Madison's Progressive Talk. The Mike 92.1 went on the air in September of 2004. As we close out our first year, we'd like to thank you for listening and our charter advertisers for supporting Progressive Talk in Madison.
Dr. Richard Levine and Dr. Sandra Oyster of Independent Psychology Alliance thank 92.1 The Mike for providing hope by breaking the silence and speaking out for all of us who know our country is in serious trouble.
Here's to another year on the Mike 92.1.
How do you want to spend your retirement?
Alicia Willis of the Employee Benefit Research Institute.
Whether it's a cruise every month, time in the garden, golf, visits to the grandkids, planning and saving now can make your retirement dreams a reality. Your life, your choices. Choose to save.
Target how much you need to save by completing the ballpark estimate worksheet at www.choosetosave.org. That's choosetosave.org.
Choose to save.
Oh, Mike Malloy, a humble and obedient servant of the truth on Madison's Progressive Talk, The Mike 92.1.
Folks must understand that major refineries have been shut down, which means it's going to be hard to get gasoline to some markets.
About 7 past the hour, CNN is reporting that the Astrodome now is not accepting any more evacuees. They were going to accept 25,000 people. What have they got in there, Kathy? About 5,000-6,000. Can you bring up CNN? Can you bring it up here?
Yeah, I spoke with Margaret O'Brien. She's one of the Red Cross people helping organize this. And let's be clear, FEMA is overseeing this oversized shelter. But the Red Cross said that buses were going to be coming in all night, this caravan of very weary travelers. And they said they were going to be coming in nonstop tomorrow. And basically, after I spoke with her about 8 hours ago, we just saw bus after bus. I lost count well into the 70s. And if you think, there are two seats across, so there's four people, at least 12 to 15 sections, depending on how modern, how nice the bus is. So somewhere around 50 people on every one of those buses. It gives you an idea of just how many people they were able to squeeze in. And let's not lose sight of the fact that these people here are a lot better off than they were. But clearly, the big story that's going to unfold in the next several hours, how did this happen? Why were these people told that they were going to find comfort here?
Well, we knew that this time last night, one of the first buses arrived. It wasn't one of the chartered buses. It was what the officials called there a renegade bus.
All right. What's happening here is the people in New Orleans who were promised a safe haven are now being told no. It doesn't make any difference if you have children, if you have sick people. Buses are now being turned away. If you turn on CNN and take a look at some of the view from one of the upper decks of the Houston Astrodome, and you'll see just nothing but wall-to-wall people. But the Astrodome has decided to not accept any more evacuees. They said they were going to take. There's a good shot right there. Take a look at that. That's only I think about 5,000 or 6,000 people. They said they were going to take 25,000. Now, having misstated how many they were going to take is one thing. But the people now who are caught in this limbo, people who are on these buses coming from New Orleans, and when they get the Astrodome, the drivers are told to just turn around and go back. This is insane. This is insane. This is not happening in America. This is happening on not even on Earth. Does anybody have any doubts left still about the incompetency of this administration? Is there any doubt in your mind? Rick in Nashville emails, and CNN is apparently getting flack upstairs about their so-called biased coverage of the disaster, if you can believe that. Jamie McIntyre just did a sheepish half-apology about his, quote, slanted coverage, end quote, defending his tendency to, quote, sympathize with the victims and not with the plight of the bureaucrats in Washington, end quote. Those are Jamie McIntyre's words. I kid you not, Rick writes. Another emailer, a FEMA director, made a bizarre Freudian slip. Apparently, this animal, this Brown, is that his name? This piece of human waste was on Koppel's program tonight. He meant to say instinct, but he said instinction. Did he mean extinction? The FEMA director said during the interview, the people at the convention center being fed, and Koppel interrupted angrily and said, with all due respect, the people at the convention center are not being fed. Steve emails, Mike, I feel so sick. I feel the kind of desperation I felt after 9/11, except this time I am more angry than sad. I don't know how the administration can get away with this, allowing these people for days to be stranded with no food and water, but no one will speak out, I guess, for fear of being accused of politicizing the situation. I remember hearing before the storm hit that they didn't have any food or water at the dome, and I wondered how that could be. How could they tell these people to come there, even as a last resort with no food, no water? I don't get it. I don't believe Bush cares a bit for these people. This is the worst thing I've ever witnessed. I was literally in the eye of Hurricane Andrew in Miami, and watching this take place from Los Angeles feels worse. Bush is destroying our country. Do you understand that? When the first shot is fired in New Orleans by a soldier that kills somebody in New Orleans who is trying to take care of his family or her family, then the complexion of this country, I realize it's happened before in this country, I'm not so naive as not to understand that. Who was it? Mary Harris Jones, who we've come to know as Mother Jones, when she was doing union organizing back at a time when private armies would shoot people down in the street for even organizing a union, she said, pray for the dead and fight like hell for the living. That's where we are. Tony in San Antonio emails Mike. No, they're not going back. San Antonio is taking 25,000 refugees. We are prepared. I am prepared. Pass it on. All right. I'm certainly glad to hear that. Thank you, Tony, that they're not going to be sent back to New Orleans. I'm not sure how to react to this whole situation. I just don't know what to say. I really don't. I'm going to take some calls here in a second. This is from Andrea. I'm a resident of the Bywater in New Orleans. That's the Ninth Ward. I'm one of the lucky ones who was able to evacuate before the storm. I've recently managed to speak to some friends stranded in New Orleans. They're starving and dehydrating, and there's no news of when they will be receiving food and water. I've spoken to relief efforts and understand that there are plenty of supplies waiting for these people, but they are not being allowed into the city. Excuse me. The National Guard has the city surrounded and is not letting anyone in or out except the buses being evacuated. The excuse that they cannot bring supplies into New Orleans because of the looting and gunfire is not a valid excuse. If they are too afraid to enter the streets in New Orleans, they need to be airdropping supplies in the city. If the United States is capable of sending planes that can withstand enemy fire to drop bombs in Iraq, certainly they are capable of airdropping supplies into a city where the worst of the gunfire they could encounter would be from semi-automatics. Our government is killing the people of New Orleans. By withholding supplies, they're ensuring more deaths, and I hold them complicit. Please bring this matter to the attention of the people of the United States. They need to know that New Orleans is deliberately being denied food and water. Perhaps if the people there had food and water, they might not be shooting off guns. I fear for my friends. It's from Andrea and her last name. I don't know. All right. Let's. I've just got such a stack of emails here. I don't know what to do here. I guess we'll go to the phones. All right. Let's just go to the phones. Let's start with John, who's calling from Madison, Wisconsin. John, welcome to the program.
Oh, hi, Mike. I share your concern. This is really an awful moment. I've been listening to other press today, and the press is now starting to do its job. The press is starting to put pressure on the government, and it's refreshing. The press is actually down in there, unlike the government.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're starting to alert the public to what's going on.
Well, remember what this regime does to the press. It kills them. There have been more journalists killed in Iraq in 3 years than there were journalists killed in Vietnam in 10.
And are they going to dare to do this in our country?
Yes. I'll answer that. I'll answer it for you right now. Of course they will, and then they'll blame it on the journalists. They'll say that the journalists were ordered not to go here or there.
Yeah, but this is a lucky moment, perhaps, for us, where these are our neighbors and our friends. This is on our territory. This is on our land. People across the country are starting to open up their homes to these people. And everybody's waking up because it's right on our front stoop. It's not something over in another country, and we're supposed to be instructed to go shopping. These are our neighbors now, and for him to fly over it at 1,700 feet and look out on his leather couch and go, oh, it's awful down there. It must be twice as awful for them.
I know. I know. John, I got a break. Thanks. I appreciate you checking in. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Molloy.
So many days since you've been away. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I often think of you each night and day. Anymore.
You're listening to the Mike Molloy Show on Air America Radio,
Madison's home for Air America, Madison's progressive talk, the Mike 92.1.
You're telling this committee you didn't know your statements were false.
No, Senator, I did not.
You're under oath?
I know that.
Well, look right here in The Nation magazine. All that claptrap was debunked.
I don't read The Nation.
Nobody told you about it?
Nobody in the White House reads The Nation.
Well, maybe they should. I think the American people assume these decisions you make are based on fact.
That's not the way we operate.
Oh, I am getting you guys The Nation.
Don't waste your money.
Oh, it doesn't take money. A four-week mini subscription is free.
I don't want a four-week mini subscription free.
You'd rather remain in ignorance?
I'd rather remain in my job.
You're saying they fire you for reading The Nation.
Not for reading it, Senator. Just for being seen with it.
Go to readthenation.com or call 800-999-6863 and accept our free mini subscription. That's readthenation.com or call 800-999-6863. Randy Rhoad. The Al Franken Show, proving the truth is entertaining.
And my dad and I would talk about it. And he'd say, I don't think God is an old man with a beard up in heaven. I think it's, I don't know, it's nature. And it connects all human beings. And we're all children of God in a way. And I don't know. Beyond that. That's what I believe.
The Al Franken Show, weekdays at 11 on Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1, streaming at themike921.com.
How are you doing in this fiscally irresponsible Republican era? Who do you got there, Chris?
Yeah, Mark, this is a little weird. We have you on line one.
Hello?
Hey, buddy, what's up?
Dude, I'm calling from 50 years in the future.
That's possible? Well,
cool.
I knew you wouldn't be freaked out about this, man. I mean, you're a visionary.
Well, hey, thanks, man. I never get that. So tell me, how did this happen?
Well, look, time travel, it's hard to explain, so let me simplify it. You know how you get 5 bars on your cell phone? Well, this is the 6th bar, and that's actually all I can tell you without messing up the time-space continuum thing.
All right, well, I'm good with that. That's cool. What's going on, man?
All right, well, this is weird. You know how they said the price of gasoline would go up a penny a day for, like, forever?
Yeah.
It did. Straight on through the fuel riots of 2020, and now a gallon of gas costs about $182.
I knew it. God, that's ridiculous.
Well, not really. Not really, if you think about it. Movie tickets are around $300, but you got to factor in everyone makes about $500K a year now.
Wow. Do we?
We'll talk about that off air. But the gas thing, people give it to each other as gifts, man. Married couples register at Texaco. People leave their gas tanks to their grandkids in their wills. It's like diamonds used to be before we learned how to make them out of meat.
What?
Never mind. The point is, gas is very valuable.
So, hey, future Mark. Hey, buddy, you're breaking up here. What, they haven't fixed cell phone reception yet?
Since the comet hit, the planet slips off its axis every couple of hours. So there's a big shift. Some tidal waves and stuff. Everything grabs onto something. A couple of species drop out. You get used to it. All right, see? There. It stopped.
All right, so, okay. So now the important stuff. What do I look like 50 years from now?
Well, the good news is, the stretch pants are very slimming. I'm just busting your hump, man. Look, we look the same, buddy. Everyone looks great in the future. I had a date with a 73-year-old last night. Smoking hot. Chicks not aging really opens up the whole playing field.
I'm not married anymore?
Oh, yeah, you're married. But you're not dead, buddy. Don't worry, man. After the whole AIDS thing got cured, the whole monogamy thing was like, you know, what's the point? You know, when scientists disproved the Bible, all that went out the window. Well, listen, I'll talk to you later, buddy.
Okay, talk to you later. That was a weird experience.
You know, you really haven't changed much in 50 years. That's all I can say.
Or on the mic.
The reason I enjoy this station, it finally gives us a real viewpoint that looks to the future instead of looking to the past.
The Mic, 92.1.
Nobody cares about me. Got a friend.
It's very important for the citizens in all affected areas to take personal responsibility and assume kind of a civic sense of responsibility so that the situation doesn't get out of hand, so people don't exploit the vulnerable.
I keep crying for my baby. But now another day is gone.
It's 22 past the hour. I understand there's an article in the, maybe it's the Times-Picayune website or it's in the newspaper in New Orleans. Can you bring that up on your screen, Kathy, if you have that? Let's see here. It's the result of some of those airlifts that we all saw today. This is breaking news from the Times-Picayune. Where is it? It's somewhere on here. Well, that's sports. but apparently, here's the story. Apparently, about 100 people, is that the number, that were airlifted, those people we saw being airlifted today, that were taken to, here it is. This is 100 people dead in Chalmette, Louisiana. About 100 people have died at the Chalmette slip after being pulled off the rooftops, waiting to be ferried up the river to the West Bank and bust, West Bank, isn't that interesting, and bust out of the flood-ravaged areas, according to U.S. Representative Charles Melancon. About 1,500 people were on the slip on Thursday afternoon, where critical supplies like food and water are scarce. The representative said people were being plucked out of their water-surrounded houses, but the effort to get them out of Chalmette and provide them with sufficient sustenance failed. People at the slip indicated that 100 people had died since they arrived. On and on and on. Okay, that's what's being reported by the Times-Picayune. on their website. And that just raises in my mind the images of those people. Even one of the people from, when was this, yesterday, Kathy? You told me that I don't know his name. I don't watch Fox, but one of the reporters at Fox was on that overpass where people had been dropped off by the helicopters, and they were dehydrating, and he was screaming. The reporter from Fox was screaming for help. These people need water. These people, Jesus. I don't know, Truth Seeker. I just, Jack is calling from Illinois. Jack, thanks for holding on. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike.
Hey.
Boy, I tell you, I called my representative from Northern Illinois, Don Manzullo, and I got the most arrogant, callous responses from his staffers.
You're kidding me.
I used the word, I said, what kind of hell are we allowing to happen in New Orleans? And this woman said, if you swear, I'm not going to deal with you.
Yeah.
I said, hell is describing what's happening down there. Click. I call back. She does it to me again. She passes me off the third time to this arrogant neocon college Republican type who says that, oh, it's a natural disaster. We couldn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, you know, I said, geez, we had 3 to 4 days to get people out of there. And he said flippantly, we told them to leave. And I thought, boy, this sounds just like those Republican talking points.
Yeah, I don't know what to say.
I said, what is our representative doing? And he goes, what is he doing? He's back in your district dealing with the farmers suffering from the drought.
Yeah.
And I was like, drought? Oh my God! I said, I'm a farmer too. And I said, there is a humanitarian crisis happening. I said, we're for the first time in America we have refugees. What the hell are we doing dealing with a drought?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I said, what in the hell is he doing? He said, shut up. I was like, I can't believe this, that somebody that we elected is treating a constituent like that, much less treating anyone like that. I'm just outraged. This isn't the America I grew up in.
No, nor the one I grew up in, nor the one my kids grew up in. No, it's not.
I mean, I've got, I take it personally because I see these people around me all the time, and I think, my God, if this were to happen here in Illinois, I would want people just coming here in waves to help us. I'm just outraged. And my family has gone from being Democrat to being Republican, and I am the only holdout. But I will take them on till the day I die. So, you keep doing your good work.
Well, thanks for checking in, Jack. This is a bad time. These are bad times. Thanks, Jack. I appreciate your call. I'm sure everybody who gives a damn has seen those two pictures juxtapositioned. They're at Daily Coast. They were all over on the subject of race and looting. On the subject of race and looting, there were picture of two pictures. Black person. I'll cover it when we come back. We've got to go. We'll be right back.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Did you catch all of that? Take a moment to bask in the truth. This is Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1.
The entire world.
A threat is spreading.
Billions and billions of dollars are waiting to be earned.
The conspiracy is growing.
Big pharmaceuticals right up there with the arms dealers.
And all of our lives are in the hands of two people.
There are millions of people that all need help.
From the director of City of God and based on the international bestseller by John le Carré, top critics are calling The Constant Gardener one of the best pictures of the year.
Chaos, cover-ups, unmarked graves.
Don't try and play detective. Vanity Fair says it's smart, provocative, and genuinely tense.
They want you silenced.
Edge of your seat, electrifying entertainment. Exhilarating, raves Time magazine.
These people, they kill anybody.
And Rolling Stone declares it's a sizzling thriller that ends the summer on a high note. Ralph Fiennes, Rachel Weisz.
Get out!
The Constant Gardener.
Some very nasty things live under rocks, especially in foreign gardens.
Rated R. Under 17, not admitted without parent. Experience this movie on the big screen tomorrow.
This is a Mother Jones Minute. George Bush invaded Iraq under the pretense of weapons of mass destruction. So you'd think the first thing America would do after invading would be to track down the Iraqi scientist who worked on WMDs in the 80s and 90s. Well, think again. This month's Mother Jones magazine reveals that the Bush administration put almost no effort into tracking down Saddam's nuclear scientists. Iraq had many scientists with working knowledge of WMDs who could sell their services to the highest bidder. But a source tells Mother Jones that only three of Iraq's top 200-some nuclear scientists have been accounted for. The others are missing. If the Bush administration had actually cared about WMDs, it would have made an effort to find Iraq's nuclear weapons makers. Instead, Bush let the scientists slip away, making the world more dangerous for all of us. Read the full report online at MotherJones.com. This has been a Mother Jones Minute.
Progressive Sound Off with Mornings Edition here on the Mike 92.1.
It's Brendan and Dan and Kalo filling in for Mark and Mark.
The American Legion had passed a resolution at the organization's national convention which said that anti-war demonstrations should be suppressed, quote, by any means necessary. And our guest is a veteran of the Gulf War who recently resigned his American Legion membership. He joins us now by phone from Portland, Oregon, and he's a member of Veterans for Peace, Veterans of Foreign Wars, and Iraq Veterans Against the War. Sean Lewis, it was a bold decision to write this letter because I'm sure you're getting some kind of response back from it. Have you received any official response from the American Legion for writing this?
No, I haven't heard anything back from the American Legion. I've actually been getting a lot of positive response from other veterans, a lot of people saying, I'm quitting too, or saying, I wish I were a member so I could quit.
Right, well, because let's make sure our listeners are clear on this. The American Legion, which is comprised of veterans, basically said that we don't believe that any kind of protest in the time of war is responsible, and it actually aids and abets our enemies. That seemed to be the impetus behind you resigning your membership. Was there any other kind of resolution that you had a problem with that the Legion had passed?
Frankly, that was the only resolution from this convention that I paid any attention to.
Well, it seems like the big one.
Yeah, it's the big one. And beyond the resolution, there was also the commander's remarks in support of the resolution before the vote.
Sean, just in case it isn't obvious, can you please explain to our listeners why the American Legion's resolution was anti-American?
For those of us who have been out there and enlisted and fought and decided to serve, the Constitution's a pretty important thing, particularly the First Amendment. The American Legion, this group of veterans, made a statement against those rights, the very rights that are at the core of being American and are the basis for all the other rights we have.
Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1, is almost 1 year old. Thanks for listening, and thanks to the sponsors who helped bring us Mark and Mark, Al and Catherine, Randy, and the rest to Madison since the very beginning.
This is Julie Stenson from Floorworks. Everyone at Floorworks is celebrating the Mike 92.1's first anniversary on the air. Come in and join us and get a 10% flooring discount. We're right off the Beltline on Highway N, just outside of Cottage Grove.
This is the Mike 92.1.
Hi, I'm Uncle Sam. And I want you to party! That's right. The U.S. military's looking for a few good dudes just to hang out, do jello shots, whatever.
I joined the U.S. Army. I'm like wasted, man.
You sure are. A lot of people think soldiers have to go to Iraq and dodge suicide bombers. But don't worry. That won't be you. You're going to spend your time in the military winning free iPods and hanging out at Monster Truck Rally. We've got more than enough people to fight in Iraq. What we need are volunteers for the 181st Beer Bongadiers. Do you have what it takes? I dare you to drink 5 straight shots with our Beer Bongadier vets. But first, I dare you to sign this recruitment form. Join the Army today and get drunk!
You meddle with the primal forces of nature, and you will
atone.
That's how I feel about it. But Randy, they're just being patriotic. Really?
Mike, call Madison's Progressive voicemail, 663-7291.
I'm Alan Sweet from Madison, proud to be a liberal, yeah, proud to be a progressive, and proud to be on the mic.
The Mike 92.1.
Yeah. Yeah. Doing talk radio right, from the left. It's more of Mike Malloy. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We are in. All right, I'm. Folks are letting me know what's happening here. The buses are being turned away from the Houston Astrodome, apparently on their way to San Antonio, Texas. People are going to be moved into a place called Kelly, USA, a military base turned civilian business park located southwest of downtown San Antonio. It says they're seeking temporary homes for at least 25,000 refugees. The Texas governor's office called San Antonio Mayor Phil Hardberger on Thursday morning. The mayor agreed to host part of that group. Within hours, city street cleaning trucks vacuumed debris from the floor of the nearly quarter-mile-long building. So that's where they're sending these refugees now who are on the buses coming out of New Orleans. So they're not being turned back to be shot dead in their own city. Let's see here. Ben is calling from California. Ben, welcome to the program. Thanks for your patience,
Mike.
Here.
Hey. How you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Great, man. I'm glad to hear that. You sound really good for somebody who just climbed out of the bed.
Well, thanks.
You and me both, actually, because I've had lung infection for a couple of weeks now, and I'm just climbing out of mine, too.
Well, it's those chemtrails.
Yeah.
But anyway.
So, man, this is, it's just crazy. I just got back from family reunion in Louisiana, and my family's calling me from down there. And they're telling me what's going on the ground. And it's just insane. It's absolutely insane. But something that he told me made me want to call you. And it's heartbreaking because this is my family down there. He's saying that the sniper stories are really blown out of proportion. And that the whole thing was just to justify a really heavy-handed response.
I have no doubt. I have no doubt. Everything this administration has said has been a lie. I don't care what it's been about, up to and including two freaking wars. Everything they have said has been a lie. If I hear from the Bush, any part of the Bush crime family, that there are snipers operating or helicopters have been shot at, and I don't care who they use as a mouthpiece. They can use the governor of New Orleans. They can use of Louisiana, the mayor of New Orleans. They can use a reporter. I don't care who they use. I instantly do not believe what I'm hearing from these monsters.
Yeah. Well, you got me there because I definitely don't agree with what
right.
they're doing, and I could care less what they're saying. He also mentioned, this is my uncle who called me
mm-hmm.
from western Louisiana where a lot of people are passing through, and he said those who were fortunate enough to get out, they got out, but they didn't have any money, so as their cars ran out of gas, get this, they pull over to the side of Interstate 10. And then people passing by, stop by, they bring them things like water, a sandwich, or whatever. These people, it was the end of the month. They're broke. They have nothing.
I know.
And they tell stories about people who were asking for money to leave, and no one gave them anything, so they were stuck, you know, down there in that part of Louisiana.
Right.
And these murderers actually have the gall to say what they're saying on television. It just blows me away. My family's taking in refugees right now. And they're you know, they've got like maybe one family per room in like a 3-bedroom house, and that's basically what we're trying to do, and we're on our end over here, you know, raising money together within the family to help feed these people coming in and help find them a place to stay. But I mean, I'm looking at New Orleans just fall apart right here in front of us, and I feel so helpless, you know.
It's a predominantly black Democratic city that has a lifestyle that white conservative Christ-killing Christian type America hates, whether it's about the jazz or about the gays or about the black folk or about the lifestyle. So what other city is more of a target for these bastards to just let it go down? I can't believe this. You know, I came up during the real bad racism of the 50s and the 60s when this country was going through the changes necessary to bring at least legal equality between blacks and whites. And I can remember the convulsions that occurred. I'm not talking about when Dr. King was shot or Kennedy was shot. You know, I'm talking about just those isolated and not so isolated convulsions that occurred because white people couldn't stand the fact that blacks now are going to be able to vote or go to white schools, so-called, or eat in restaurants where whites thought they had an exclusive franchise. But I, even having grown up through that, I have never witnessed an attack on an entire city the way I've witnessed from this Bush administration in the past 5 days. This has been deliberate, calculated, and it's just absolutely the heart of evil. I've never seen anything like this. Yeah. I can't believe this is happening in my country.
Mike, it alludes to the kind of racism that we've been talking about for a long time that people just keep denying exists, and you're seeing it, you know, happen right before our very eyes. You know, the looters are going out to get goods, you know, insulin, medicine in these drugstores that people keep hollering about. They're bringing back food. You know what they're doing? They're going down to Dome and they're passing it out to whoever they can, you know.
I saw pictures on CNN of that today. People with boxes of apples. Yeah, boxes of apples, boxes of stuff that they've taken out of grocery stores, and they take it back to that filthy hole of a Superdome. And excuse me, I had to cough there.
The Death Dome.
And hand it out to people, especially old people who have been sitting there, who are getting no nutrition, no water, no nothing. These are warriors. These people are doing this are warriors. These are not, I'm sorry, I don't give a tinker's damn what the right wingers, Sean Hannity or the rest of these pigs, whatever they talk about looting, or this psychotic governor of New Orleans, or Louisiana, now talking about shoot to kill. This is insane.
One more thing, and I'll let you go, because I know you got a lot of callers. Listen, I asked my uncle, you know, What the refugees say about what was going on down there, and he mentioned something that was really, I mean, it just boiled me. The buses that were going down to the Dome to pick people up, they were showing up empty, no water, no supplies underneath,
right?
No nothing.
Nothing.
It's just proof positive that there is absolutely no planning, or that this is being done on purpose.
It's being done on purpose. I believe that with every fiber in me. That this, you know, I watched this Chertoff thug today. This guy who heads what does he head? Department of Homeland Security.
Homeland Security.
And I watch under that department now is the Coast Guard, FEMA. I watch this punk that now heads FEMA, and I listen to what they're saying, and I can't believe what they're saying. They are so disconnected from reality. They remind me of friends of mine who are schizophrenic, who are on medication. If they get off their medication, they go delusional and crazy. And I've known people like that my entire life, who got to take lithium, and they got to take this, and they got to take that. And that's what these Chertoff and this Brown, whatever the hell his name is, and this pig over in Mississippi, this Haley Barber, I listened to them today, and I think, what are they talking about? They're not talking about reality. And there they stand on television, and the reporter's sitting there. Now, I understand that Ted Koppel tonight went off on this, the head of FEMA, when the head of FEMA said that the people at the Dome were being fed, and Koppel said, no, they're not, and they haven't been.
Denial about stuff like that. They don't want to admit that they're not doing their job, even though it's painfully obvious that they're not doing their job. You know, the weapon of mass destruction here is Bush's his incompetence, his negligence, the arrogance, and the ineptness, the ineptness that he shows.
That's
what he needs to stand up and do as a man and as a president and as a leader. And the other weapon of mass destruction is all the sheeple out there who refuse to face the truth. That's the bottom line. And I got to holler at Congress, too. because those bastards did something I never thought they'd do. In a time of record need, they went and passed all this pork. You got this multi-million-dollar bridge in Alaska going out to 50 people on an island.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know what I'm saying? And oh. $8 or $9 billion that is unaccounted for in Iraq. I mean, it just goes on, Mike, and I really appreciate what you're doing for America. I appreciate what you're doing for my family because I have children, too.
Yeah.
And I appreciate what you're doing for all the listeners out there because you're giving us all hope and you're giving us all, you know, something, you know, to hold on to while we get through this dark day because people are dying out there, Mike.
Yeah, if we do get through it. Hey, thanks for checking in, Ben. You take care. One of my regular correspondents just sent this in. Regarding the police or emergency radio feeds from New Orleans, most of the language now being heard on those radio feeds is army chatter in military lingo. They're moving and taking over. From what my emailer could figure out from the banner was that they're going to move in a big way on Friday. If you're hip, you can find a link. I just can't give it to you over the air here. It's just too complicated. But the radio feeds from New Orleans on the police bands. Oh, Jesus. All right, we'll be right back. I'm Mike Holland.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
We support real family values. Madison's Progressive Talk. The Mike 92.1.
This is Larry King. Did you know there's finally a different form of vitamin E? Ester E, a unique form of natural E, captured for the first time in a supplement. It's the only E I take because only Ester E protects its antioxidant benefits until your body is ready to use it. And it's all natural, so it's readily absorbed. Take Ester E, like me, E-S-T-E-R-E. Advanced protection, Ester protection.
Look for Ester E and Ester C everywhere vitamins are sold.
Hi, I'm David Mirasu. For six generations, my family has shared their gift, the joy of making bright, crisp, fruit-focused wine. Mirasu wines are all about the vibrant, sunny character of California's Central Coast, and they're perfect for summertime. Like our Chardonnay, with grilled salmon or a big, beautiful salad. I'm David Mirasu, inviting you to make your summer even brighter. Mirasu, life is good under the sun.
Mirasu Vineyards, Hillsborough, California.
Big Ed has some big ideas on the Mike 92.1.
That there isn't anybody on radio in America that has been more of a proponent for the veterans' benefits than the voice you're listening to right now. It's immoral that the majority party has pushed you guys aside to the road like you're roadkill, cut your benefits. The Democrats didn't do that. The conservatives did.
Straight talk is progressive talk. Ed Schultz, weekdays at 2 on the Mike 92.1.
And now, more of Lies and the Lying Liars Who Tell Them, a fair and balanced look at the right. The last time I saw Paul was in the late summer of 2002, about 6 weeks before he died in a plane crash. It was an evening event in the Twin Cities. Paul was in the middle of an intense, dead-even Senate race. He'd been targeted as vulnerable by the National Republican Party, and money was flowing in from around the country for his opponent, a suit named Norm Coleman. Paul was fighting for his political life. The first thing he asked me was, "How's your mom?" I told Paul I had just visited her. "It was tough," I said. I couldn't even have a conversation with her. Paul nodded and said, "You know, touch means so much." The next day, I took my mom out into the nursing home garden in her wheelchair. It was a beautiful day. I sat next to her for a couple of hours with my arm around her. I can't tell you whether it meant a thing to her, but it meant a lot to me. So that was Paul. Touch means so much wasn't the kind of thing you'd hear from a Michael Dukakis. I, along with innumerable people, loved Paul Wellstone for what he stood for what he fought for, and for who he was. I loved his wife Sheila, too. I don't think I ever saw Paul without Sheila by his side. Paul died on October 25th, 2002, when his plane went down in northern Minnesota. Sheila, his daughter Marcia, his driver Will McLaughlin, two other close aides, Tom Lapick and Mary McAvoy, and two pilots died with him. 4 days later, C-SPAN, along with almost every Minnesota TV and radio station, carried a hastily put together memorial service for Paul, Sheila, Marcia, Will, Tom, and Mary. I was there. It was a beautiful memorial, sometimes incredibly sad, sometimes funny, sometimes rowdy, and sometimes political. Some people watching on television were offended. Some people were moved. But the right saw an opening. They took moments out of context, lied about the rest, and used it as a political club to attack the Democrats. It won them the Senate in Minnesota and probably in Missouri, which means it gave Republicans control of the Senate.
We're just 176 weeks away from the next inauguration. Counting down to the end, this is the Mike 92.1.
I think there ought to be zero tolerance of people breaking the law during an emergency such as this.
I don't know what we're seeing in our country. I've labeled it fascism. I've labeled it corporatism, incompetence. We've had 5 years of this now. I honestly don't know any longer what we're seeing. I still believe it's a slow but definite incremental move toward a kind of a militaristic corporatism, call it fascism, call it whatever you want, in this country, led by the people who directly support Bush. It's very easy to say the big corporations, but there's specific big corporations, the energy corporations, the chemical corporations, the pharmaceutical corporations. And Bush is such a willing little chimpanzee to do this. He's what he is. How this man was installed in this country, I think, if there is any history to report, you know, 50, 75, 100, 200 years from now, this is going to be seen as one of the darkest chapters for democracy or freedom or lawful government or constitutional rule of law, whatever you want to call it, that this country's ever gone through. And we either will or will not survive this. There's no halfway ground. We'll either survive as we have been working for the past 230 years toward a fair and equitable system of self-government, or we will not. This is astonishing to me. Thanks to Colin Tipton and Jason Isaac and David Fizikas in New York, our crew up there tonight. Chris in Minnesota is our senior correspondent. Ben Birch, White Rose Society. Mark Marshall, our webmaster. Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief. Catherine Bay, our announcer, I'm sorry, honey. I just went blank. I'm sorry.
I can be the announcer.
No, you've got. I'm watching. The baby woke up, and Molly has been fighting this cold off. Kathy and I were sicker than I think we've ever been, and Molly has come through it so far with just a little runny nose, a little bit of scratchiness, but you know, not sleeping the way she normally sleeps. So she woke up a few minutes ago, just shrieking and doing that baby thing, and Kathy has her now. So I'm watching the baby. I'm an executive producer. I don't know why I said announcer. That's insane. Jude is calling from Washington. Jude, welcome to the program. Thanks for your patience here.
Well, at least I got to listen to you tonight and everything you said, because they don't have you on 1090 here in Bellevue, Washington, Seattle. I don't know what the hell happened. But I said, "Where's Mike Malloy? I've got to talk to Mike."
They don't have us on the station that we
no,
were on.
No, I'm going. What's happening in America now? They've taken it off the air. Oh my gosh, it's a conspiracy. But listen, I know you've got to go. All I have to say is this: whenever I listen to you, I say to myself, "My God, he's speaking my words." I feel like you're my twin brother or something, and I'm losing my mind, Mike. I can't take it. What you said earlier is so true, and that is something has to happen now. It has gone beyond the pale. There's total insanity, and this is a conspiracy. It's planned, and this cannot continue. I don't know what you can do, but you've got to get your forces and start doing something and get us all involved. This, and Randy, whoever, whatever. I don't care, but I am very concerned. I was in New York at 3 a.m. on 9/11, and I felt the ground shaking. I was going for the first time to New York City. I left Boston. Make a long story short, you know, they say people are psychic, whatever. Something told me the forces. I know, you know, you haven't, you need to read the book Autobiography of a Yogi, because, you know, about philosophy, religion, etc. You're not religion, spirituality. Nevertheless, the bottom line, you do have a soul, etc. The bottom line is, I knew something major was going to happen. I canceled the flight that day. I believe that this is a huge conspiracy. They must have known about it, and I did not go to New York City, Manhattan that morning. I feel this whole thing, they can't be that stupid. And now they're not feeding the people, this man that just came on earlier. They're not feeding these people. They're not allowing, and now they're going to have martial law, shoot to kill. My God. Wake up, America.
Oh, and by the way, you're talking about.
I'm just. I know I'm rambling, but I'm going.
No, insane. No.
I'm going insane, Mike.
I hear you.
I'll tell you what word to use on the air that you can't use because of the SEC or whoever those people are. Whatever. Ty, when you want to don't call those people pigs. A pig is a nice word. A pig is a nice animal.
Okay.
That is too good. No, I'm serious. Just say they're full of Ty. That is a Balinese word, and I won't tell you what it means. And they don't know what it means. And I'm serious.
All right. Well, I'll take your word for it. By the way, I did read. You're talking about the book by Paramahansa Yogananda.
It is. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Autobiography. You know when I read that? I read that in the 50s.
He wrote it.
He wrote it in the 30s.
Yes, when he came. I was raised in San Diego. Yes, yes.
Right. He came to this country and held a series.
Christianity, true yoga, and
right.
Isn't, you know. And I was in my, you know, I'm not going to go into past lives, anything like that. But nevertheless, I'm.
No, I thought it was a great book, great insight. I appreciate that kind of writing. I appreciate what the mystics have written. I don't care what their religion is.
Well,
I don't care what their belief system.
He's the bottom line. He never said he's an avatar. As Jesus was an avatar.
I understand.
And Krishna is an avatar. The bottom line to this whole thing is, like your wife said, perhaps out of the insanity, remember it's all a dream, and it's hard for us to realize that this is all a dream.
Well, it may.
Nightmare of a dream right now, and these poor people there. And no food on the buses, whatever. It just goes on and on. But, you know, when you go to sleep tonight, if you and your wife can ask the universe, just the universe, whatever, cosmic consciousness, whatever you want to call it, God, whomever, the male, female of God, whatever, and ask God to give you the answer in the morning of what you need to start doing and rally us around.
All right. And you do the same, Jude. We got to leave it there. You do the same. And if you come up with an answer, for God's sake, let me know, okay? I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care, y'all. Take care, okay? Watch your back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
Radio.
After 25 years of marriage, I can't imagine life without Bob. So when his doctor told him his high blood pressure and cholesterol increased his risk of a heart attack, I worried. But I feel better because his doctor recommended Bayer.
Doctors know that Bayer low dose can prevent 1 out of 3 heart attacks. And Bayer is the brand that more doctors take for their own hearts. Aspirin is not appropriate for everyone, so be sure to talk to your doctor before you begin an aspirin regimen.
We both feel better because I take my Bayer.
You'll feel better, protected by Bayer. Talk to your doctor.
This is
is Larry King. Did you know there's finally a different form of vitamin E? Ester E, a unique form of natural E, captured for the first time in a supplement. It's the only E I take because only Ester E protects its antioxidant benefits until your body is ready to use it. And it's all natural, so it's readily absorbed. Take Ester E, like me, E-S-T-E-R-E. Advanced protection, Ester protection.
Look for Ester E and Ester C everywhere vitamins are sold.
Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1, is almost 1 year old. Thanks for listening, and thanks to the sponsors who helped bring us Mark and Mark, Al and Catherine, Randy, and the rest to Madison since the very beginning.
Hi.